desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, across this great land of ours, beyond the borders, actually, in the west from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet, thanks to Broadcast.com and Intel with streaming video. And, of course, you can get the audio of the program, well, all over the world. And now you can actually get the video of the program all over the world, too. All you have to do is go to my website, www.artbell.com. Download the amazing G2 player. It is free. Yes, there is a version you can spend some money on if you want to. But the basic version of G2 is free. And then come back to my website, and lo and behold, there I'll be doing my video, doing the program. It's really wild. We thought we had a glitch tonight, and that we would not be able to bring you free video. Streaming video. Free streaming video, but we are. A miracle occurred just before airtime, and voila. There it is. So tonight, like every night, you can go up there and see me do the program, for whatever that's worth. All right. What's going on tonight? Well, there's a lot going on. Check this out. The chief executive of the European Union and, brace yourself, 19 other senior officials abruptly resigned early Tuesday after an investigative panel allegedly found cronyism, financial irregularities in their ranks. Ooh. It marked the first time in the group's 42-year history that the European Commission, which runs the day-to-day affairs of the powerful trading bloc, had stepped down under fire. The action would be roughly equivalent to the entire U.S. cabinet resigning at once. That's serious stuff. There's a lot of strange stuff in the news. Not so strange, Gephardt has decided he's going to back Gore in his presidential bid in 2000. I don't know, what do you think about Al Gore for 2000? Gephardt actually hugged him. That sight you wouldn't want to miss, Gephardt hugging Gore. Now, GOP Senator Chafee is retiring. John Chafee from Rhode Island announced he will not come back to office, will not look for re-election in 2000. Been a lot of them doing that. A new public-private alliance to curb internet crime will teach children that hacking is the same as breaking and entering. Attorney General Reno said today, it's among three initiatives under the Cyber Citizen Partnership, a government and high-tech industry alliance to promote cyberspace ethics and law enforcement. Sorry. I've been around the internet now too long to think that this is going to change hacking or anything, really. Ethics and law enforcement on the internet? Please. Two interesting pieces of medical news. In a dramatic advance, researchers have found an enzyme that helps build the blood vessels that feed the growth of cancer tumors. Ooh, researchers report finding on the surface of cells inside blood vessels ATP synthesis. The enzyme apparently provides the energy for the growth of blood vessels. No blood, no growth. You choke off the blood, obviously, and a tumor cannot grow. In fact, without such energy, he said, tumors can never grow beyond the size of a pinhead. Wow. And then this, tears, saliva, and the urine of pregnant women all contain proteins that are potent killers of HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Apparently a scientist has isolated a protein called, and I'm going to slaughter it, isome, and found that it was able to kill the AIDS virus quickly in test tube experiments. There's going to be a big report tomorrow in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, we're going to have Dr. Lorraine Day on in the next hour, and if you have never heard Dr. Day's story, you're in for some kind of amazing treat tonight. There is a photograph of the good doctor on my website that you must see. She had cancer so horrible. I have never, of course, I'm not big on viewing cancer patients, but I was a medic in the Air Force, and I have never seen a tumor the size of Dr. Day's tumor. It was truly something out of the movie Alien. I mean, it was horrible, horrible. And she cured herself of cancer. And so she's going to be here talking about a lot of things. She wrote me a very interesting fax, and that's what caused me to have her on. You remember when Richard had his heart attack? She wrote, there's a line here that, let's see, she said, certainly we do know that the government and other sinister agencies have The government and other sinister agencies have fantastically diabolical abilities to cause deaths. As they say, quote, anyone can cause a murder, but it takes an expert to cause a natural death. Nevertheless, that being said, she's going to be here to talk about cancer and heart disease and a lot of other killers that she claims you can cure yourself of. That's right, cure yourself of. Well, AT&T's Telstar 401 satellite has gone belly up. Telstar 401 failed abruptly Saturday morning, interrupting service to all nine broadcasters on that system. The failure at 6:15 a.m. Eastern did not seriously hamper operation for the broadcasters because none were on the air at the time. AT&T immediately restored those customers whose contracts call for uninterrupted service by transferring their signals to Telstar 402R. Now, the buzz that I'm getting is that a geomagnetic storm on the sun caused the early demise of Telstar 401. Now, that's not written in stone, but that's what people are saying, that it was the sun, and that certainly would coincide with a major flare, which we had, no question about that. We did have a big flare. We had a whopper. And I'm really looking for some help out there on this next item, which is related. Here it is. I had a fax last week from the first officer of a major airline, 737, who said, hey, Art, we fly into Minneapolis-St. Paul every night, during the week, every night. And when we were up tonight, this was last week now, the entire sky was lit up with northern lights. He said, the whole sky. And he said that he had a tingling all over his skin that he couldn't account for, and there was some disorientation, and that his pilot had felt the same thing. Now, bear in mind, this is at about 33,000 feet, approaching Minneapolis-St. Paul. And yes, we were, again, having a big geomagnetic storm, but he said he felt tingling, kind of like when you're out in the sun and you're being irradiated, right? Being irradiated, except it's at night. Yes, northern lights everywhere, but the sun is not out. Or, in a sense, is it? Now, I've never heard of anything like that before. I talked to a friend of mine who worked actually for the airlines, and he said, well, it could happen. And then I got about a dozen more from pilots, all saying roughly the same thing. And then I got one from this pilot, a cargo pilot, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Art Bell, I am a cargo pilot that flies a route over Illinois, Iowa, and South Dakota every weekday night. I've been told by my company not to speak to the media about any accidents, unusual situations, or environmental issues. I feel my life may be at stake due to conditions I experienced while flying last night. I decided that it is time to ask for help and speak out. I, too, witnessed the Northern Light display and had the same physical effects that you described by the first officer of a major airline. Today, when I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and my face, neck, and hands are beet red. I have white circles around my ears from my headsets covering my skin. I'm going to go see the doctor early next week, that would be now, to find out some answers. I sometimes worried about dying in an airplane crash. Now, I worry about dying from the environment that I fly through every night. What's going on? Please get some people on this issue. Well, I wouldn't know who to get on this issue. I would only know to put the information out and let others respond. All right, I'm going to take care of a break here, and then when I come back, I've got a whole bunch more interesting stuff coming up. Again, Dr. Lorraine Day at the top of the hour, and I will locate that photograph for you. I'll go take a look at my own website and see where Keith put it, but this is a photograph. It's just a simple must see before the program. If you have a computer, you're going to want to get up there, believe me. All right, couple items. One from a listener in Charlotte, North Carolina. And maybe it's not the same everywhere, or maybe it is. I haven't checked. Art, just to let you know that there's no way to get an electric generator here in Charlotte, North Carolina, far as I can tell. Yesterday, Sunday, I went out looking to buy a generator for emergencies, my first stop at a large home supply store, Lowe's, and I was told by an employee there they didn't have any in stock, but to check back in another week or so. I'm not sure he knew this to be a fact, so I continued on to their competitors, Home Depot, where I couldn't get any definitive answer on when or even if they would get in any time soon. From there, I went to the nearest mall department store, nearest Sears, asked the salesman in hardware whether or not they had any generators. His answer was that they hadn't had any in stock for the last 6 months, wouldn't get any more for at least 6 more months, was told the government had acquired all the stock to send down south to the victims of the hurricane, and then my best chance to find one was at a smaller private hardware store, so I drove over to a local hardware store and inquired once again, sure, we can order you a generator. We don't have any in stock because people are buying them for Y2K, but I can call an order in if you'd like. Are you sure you can do that? I asked. Yeah, no problem, he said. I know we had one in here a week ago that a customer had ordered as I browsed the different models in the catalog. He was on the phone with the distributor. He looked at me and said, oops, sorry. But apparently the distributor cannot fulfill any order request for at least a year. I turned around and went home thankful that I already at least had bought my Beijing with a light. Thanks for illuminating me on the necessity of preparedness. Eric in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I don't know if that's something that is universal. I've made no inquiries myself. I have no idea. I did have a gentleman on the air last week, you'll recall, who distributed for one of the nation's biggest generator folks, and he said, no way. You can't get them. This is interesting. The Associated Press, the European Central Bank, on top of other problems they're having, wants to limit the risks of the millennium bug wreaking havoc in the European Union's banking system by making the upcoming New Year's Eve a special holiday. a special holiday, a banking holiday. The ECB president said he planned to close the European system of central banks December 31st, a Friday, to ensure that its information systems are fully prepared for any problems. That's interesting, isn't it? Because they've already been testing, they say, then why would they need to do this? He went on to say it would be more efficient if all member states declared December 31st, 99, a bank holiday. So that, to the president of the EU Council of Foreign Finance Ministers, I wonder if he's still even there. The letter was dated March 10th, but released Monday. Bank testing for the Millennium Bug is being carried out and will continue in the run-up to 2000, but he noted, quote, no matter how detailed the testing is, it simply is not possible to give a 100% guarantee that nothing will go wrong. So, there you have it. They're testing, but they still want the day off on Friday. Now, I can give the following story no weight whatsoever beyond reading it to you. There was somebody who called my show about a week ago and said, the government art is ordering 25 million body bags. I said, really? Yep. And everybody wanted a follow-up, and there was none. This is just something somebody said, you know, a caller. But then I did get this email, so I'll read it to you. The mention of the order for 25 million body bags left my husband and myself very disturbed. Well, it's something worth getting disturbed over, isn't it? 25 million body bags. What would the government want those for? So I decided to check into it myself and found a company that advertises body bag manufacturer for the emergency and medical industry. Thought you'd be interested to hear the comment the company sent me. Subject, body bag information, date, from so-and-so to so-and-so. Melody writes, I heard on the radio last night that the U.S. government had ordered 25 million body bags from a body bag company last month. Was it from your company, or are there others? Answer, subject, body bag information. Addressed to Melody. I regret I cannot comment on this. That was the answer from the body bag company. I regret I cannot comment on this. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Well, Art, exactly what it says. I can't comment on this. So, I have no way of knowing if this is legit or not. It looks like legit email, but, I mean, you never know. I mean, what would they do with 25 million body bags anyway? Does give you a case of chicken skin, though, doesn't it? All right. The next half hour will be devoted to open lines, anything goes talk radio. By the way, just got word that our Vancouver affiliate, CFUN, is going to begin carrying the show at 8 o'clock at night. That's the 50,000-watt CFUN in Vancouver. Beginning Wednesday, you can hear the show at 8 o'clock. Check it out. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Perhaps like generators, Beijin radios are kaput. They are sold out right now. Can't get one for love or money, but you can order one for mid-April delivery. That's all you can do. And I can't tell you what's going to happen to the date after that. Mid-April delivery for the Beijing crank radio with a light. Otherwise, you might want to consider Real Talk. Now, this is the talk radio person's best friend. Why? It's an AM-FM radio, digital, stands tall and proud, black in color.
That is one funny commercial, I'll tell you. Big cruise ship. Ditch him. Peel out. That's a great series of commercials. Just a great series.
All right. Dr. Lorraine Day at the top of the hour. Go to my website. Trust me on this one. Scroll down into the guest area. By the way, you'll see a gigantic guest listing of what we have coming up. And Dr. Lorraine Day is there. You've got to see the photograph of the tumor that she beat. I mean, it's just... As I said the last time we did a show, it's unbelievable. We'll ask her about some of these new mainstream medical advances in cancer and AIDS, because she knows about both, cancer and AIDS. She worked at one of the largest hospitals in San Francisco and had to resign. She'll tell you all about it. 25 million body bags. No generators. Must mean something. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. No, you're not. I didn't push the button. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good. I just wanted to confirm that that report about not being able to get a generator in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh? Are you in Charlotte?
Well, I'm outside of Charlotte.
Outside
of Charlotte. But my wife and I also look for generators at Home Depot and also at our local hardware store. The Ben Franklin type wood burning stove?
Sure.
The man told us there's no way we're ever going to get one of those anytime soon.
Really?
People are buying them up for Y2K.
Really?
Yeah. I have a question for you. You had a guest on, it was probably about 2 years ago, and the man's son was in a rock band called
Iron Butterfly.
Right, right. And they said they were developing a way to communicate with low-level gravity waves or something like that. And I was wondering, is there any follow-up to that at all?
No, as far as I know, he's still missing. There's been no change.
Yeah.
That's the best of my knowledge. Now, there could have been something that I perhaps didn't hear of, but I'm sure I would have.
Yeah. I'd really like to hear that man again. That was a... fascinating, the technology they were working on.
Oh, yes. Very advanced math and very, very interesting stuff, and he just disappeared. It's true. If I hear anything, I'll let you know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
This is Andrew calling from now Oak Harbor, Washington.
Hi, Andrew.
Just finished moving today.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, I had a couple of answers for you.
Okay.
Usually
it's questions, so answers are nice.
Yeah. You had been wondering for a while, you know, about that whole thing with Danny and Brinkley and comparing him to, you know, the
Sarah.
Other lady.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah, who had the going to hell NDE. Sarah on the way home from church.
Right. Now, my first hypothesis is that experience that they had in their lives were what was needed for them to move to their next level.
Yeah, well, that's easily said, but still it doesn't seem right.
That's the first one, and then the second one I thought of was just sort of, just the idea that, I can't think
now of it. Now you've forgotten it. Something this profound and important.
Oh, yes. I got it back.
Yes, okay.
Okay. That they would hopefully spread the word of their story and that their story would help someone else.
Well, that's why I had them on the air.
Yeah.
But it's still, I appreciate it, but it does not answer the question. I accept your first as one possibility, but, I mean, you take somebody who had a very, very bad life, was an abysmal little bastard, and he goes to crystal cities and sees people with beards and white gowns and
is given a look at the future, and you take somebody who's been very, very good, was bicycling her way home after doing volunteer work at the church, gets hit, knocks 60 feet, and goes straight to hell without passing go. If you ever get a chance to listen to Sarah's NDE, it's really worth listening to, and it's still up on my website. Check it out. It'll give you... I'm somehow enamored of this word, phrase lately, chicken skin. It definitely will give you that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, I'm sorry. How are you this evening?
Fine. Extinguish your radio.
Okay. Clear on the other side of the room.
Well, we'll wait.
Okay. Yes, sir. I had a question. The other day when you were talking to Ed Dames,
yes,
he was talking about, I believe, North Korea planning a nuclear strike.
Yes.
And perhaps South Korea doing a preemptive strike.
He talked about North Korea using the first nuke in anger. I don't know anything about a preemptive strike.
Okay, because I was curious about that, and if there was any time of a timeline he set down for that.
Well, yes. What he said was that that attack would occur before the kill shot from the sun, what he calls the kill shot from the sun. However, in this last program, he's not as sure of the timeline and whether one will occur before the other. Timelines with remote viewing are the most difficult of all to nail down. So there you are. That's the answer I can give you. He hedged a little bit about the timeline. It could be the kill shot comes first. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, good evening, Art. This is your best friend north of the Rockies, listening to you on 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska, KFAR.
That's north of the Rockies, all right. Man, I should have a north of the Rockies line.
Yeah, you should. You do now.
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to shoot, I've been trying to get through to you for quite a while, actually, since several years ago. And then just this past week, you piqued my interest again. One of my favorite dreamlands you ever had wasn't when you had any particular guest on, but you just had a number of mothers call in and talk about their relationship with their children. And that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago already. And it was just the maternal relationship that only a mother could know with her children. And then
you've got a really good memory, because I don't remember that.
Oh, it was fascinating. It was on Sunday afternoon in the summertime. I remember I was out working on my truck. And it was probably about 4 years ago already.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could, and that was on a Mother's Day, actually.
Oh.
That was the reason for it.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I remember.
So anyway, yeah, I would just like to know if you'd be up to doing another show like that, and it sounds very similar to the subject that you were discussing about a week or two ago then, too.
Well, it wasn't a week or two ago. It was last week, and I'm still in the middle of it. And that is children who are saying things that they ought not be saying. 2, 3, or 4-year-olds, or even younger, who are obviously spouting off things about another life. And I'm still seeking an appropriate guest on that subject. I get them every day now, every single day now. Statements like, I remember when I was the mommy and you were the baby. Stuff like that. And a lot more chilling. Stuff that could only be said by a child who'd been around once or twice before, if you follow me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. What's going on?
You, at the moment.
Yeah, all right. Just had a little guess at maybe at Daniel Brinkley and at Sarah,
yes,
those two stories.
Yes.
Maybe what they saw was what they avoided or what they're missing out on. You know, Daniel living the way he lived, miss out on all that good. And
well, why would Daniel be given information on about so much of the future, you know, what was going to happen?
Oh, probably because my series screwed up. Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought he was shown just a bunch of good stuff. I didn't catch that he was given information about the future.
Daniel should have seen the guy with horns. He should have seen coal. Lots of people tossing coal into giant furnaces, about 1,000,000 degrees. all of that.
See, I never get through to your show. This time I get through and look ahead.
Well, that's all right. Next time it'll be a lot easier for you.
All right.
All right?
Take care, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art. How's it going?
Fine.
Anyway, I just thought I'd make a comment about the body bags. My personal opinion, I think the government might be just preparing for the worst.
With regard to what?
Well, you remember the L.A. riots, how when Rodney King, you know, got kind of screwed over there. Maybe they're just preparing for the worst. Perhaps they're thinking that there's going to be riots.
Well, I'm not saying that this is accurate information at all.
I really
am not. By the way, there's a million things running around on the Internet right now about American concentration camps, too. Oh, you ought to see all the stories. So you get that from time to time, concentration camps in America, and then you usually get a body bag story. But this one seems rather persistent. That's why I made mention of it, 25 million.
And a question for you, Art. With this Y2K, all the upgrades that people are doing to their computer systems and whatnot,
yes.
Is it possible that the government might have some kind of hidden agenda with that? I do believe Y2K, we're going to have problems, but with all the upgrades that everybody's doing to their computers, is it possible that maybe the government's wired in somehow to all the computers, like everybody, so where they can view what you do on your screen? Perhaps they cannot interact with your computer files, but they could view from wherever just as a method for, like, say, the IRS.
Mm. Well,
they can check out your stuff. And
Big Brother,
you can be convicted.
It's a Big Brother kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm. They can convict you before anything ever really happens, before you know it.
Well, this is the charge they're making against the Intel's Pentium 3. But the fact of the matter is, you can turn that function off so that if you don't want that kind of communication going on between your computer and another, you can turn it off. They recognize the privacy issue. So I don't know. It could be. Who am I to say? Who am I to say? But I think a lot of this is urban myth. The body bags might be urban myth. The concentration camps might be urban myth. What if they're all true? Maybe the body bag story and the concentration camp story go together. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Chris from Spokane.
Hey, Chris.
KGA.
Of course, the monster, 1510.
1510. Hey, back in January, you had a guest on. You guys were talking about ghost pictures,
yes,
or angel pictures.
Yes, I have many of both.
And he was talking about a picture that he saw in Spokane of an angel. And I believe I have a copy, or maybe actually it was a picture of a picture of that angel. And I sent it down to Keith, and I don't know if I'm sending it correctly or not.
Well, I don't know whether you are either. Send it to webmaster.
Yes.
At artbell.com.
I put it under the best angel picture ever. So if you're looking for it, and I believe it's the same one he's talking about. It's
great. You know what, though? I think that I've seen the one you're talking about because you sent it to me, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's the one taken out of an airplane.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got that one. We've had that up for quite a while.
No, it's a different one than on the airplane. And when
it's a different airplane?
Yeah, that night when you were talking about that, I jumped out of bed, got on the computer to look at it to see if it was the same one, and it wasn't. This one is awesome. I mean, when my wife showed it to me for the first time.
How can we know that it's not, you know, I saw what you said, and it's so specific as to be almost unbelievable. You know, it's like whipped up by Photoshop. How do we know?
I can send you the picture, if you like.
Well, now you're cooking.
And actually, they lost...
But wait a minute, you said it's a picture of a picture.
Yeah, I can send... They lost the negative, but I could probably track down the people who have the actual Kodak photo.
All right. Well, go to work on that, would you?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Go to work on that. And it's so good, with so many details, that either it would have to be A, the real thing, B, a holographic imprint on the clouds, or C, a Photoshop deluxe production. Getting the negative, now that would be kind of interesting. for sure. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Turn the radio down.
Yes, do
yes,
that.
Yes, Paul in Cutler Ridge, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I wanted to get in touch with Richard Hoagland when he was down here and ask him if he had been told about the Indian ruins down in Cutler Ridge, a little south of Miami.
Well, as you well know, Richard Hoagland had a heart attack and open heart surgery, and he's in the hospital.
Right, and that same day, we had seen down by the beach with my daughter, we had seen the contrails crisscrossing and leaving large grid patterns in the sky, and wanted to talk to Richard Hoagland again.
Well, if you'll just hang in there, Richard's in the hospital. He's not really up to it at the moment. William Thomas, the investigative journalist who brought the contrail story to us, is going to be here this Wednesday. So
on the show.
On the show.
Had you had any other reports from Miami from last Saturday about that? It was in the,
we
in
have
the
had report. I've got reports coming out my ears. I have hundreds of contrail photos.
On one on the leeward side, there seemed to be a pulsing going on as the plane was going and leaving a little puffing to get it started on its webbing path.
Well,
and
now listen to me.
They crisscrossed the same line.
Now listen to me. Go to my website. You do have a computer, yes?
Yes.
All right. Take a look at the contrail photo I put up of one taken right over Pahrump Valley here. It had the same little kind of O-puffs all the way around it. Damnedest thing you ever saw. Nobody here ever has seen anything like it. So I took my own photograph, 35 millimeter, scanned it, put it up there. Take a look at that.
I couldn't find a tourist. I was looking for a camera.
When you can't find a tourist in Miami, you're in trouble.
Yes, it's out on Key Biscayne, right over the water. So fortunately, it traveled. It stayed up there for hours, the pattern they made. It was in a great
Well, you mean
form.
Hours went by and you couldn't find a tourist?
No, after a while we...
Usually you can get an entire Japanese family coming by. No. With cameras. No, huh?
Didn't have the fortune.
I see.
Also, if there's any chance that that Richard Hoagland needs some lodging down this way, that he's welcome to stay with myself or any other friends down here.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Were you aware that you were in the local free paper here?
No, what did they say about?
There was a picture of Richard Hoagland, and it was a story about him. They'd made mention of you and the archaeologist Bob Carr. They quoted
yes.
him as being kind of a disbeliever. They said they quoted him as saying Richard Hoagland is out to lunch.
Well, I don't
the
think so.
Down here.
I don't think so. Because the carbon testing on the circle.
Oh, he definitely is not out to lunch.
Not out to lunch at all.
I'm saying that's what the it's called the New Times. In fact, they
well, maybe the New Times had an old story.
Oh, it was. It was before he had gone into the hospital. It came out last Thursday.
This was before the carbon dating, huh?
It was right before the carbon dating. It was last Thursday. So.
Let's see if in the next issue they eat their words.
Oh, they'll be eating with key lime juice, yes.
All right, thank you. We're going to break here at the top of the hour, and when we come back, a really, really remarkable woman named Dr. Lorraine Day. She worked at one of the largest hospitals in San Francisco. Well, actually, her entire story is incredible, and I'll let her tell it. That's coming up next. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
That would be me. Coming up shortly is Dr. Lorraine Day. And she's got a story to tell that'll knock you right on your rear end. If you've got a computer, go up to my website and scroll down to the name Dr. Lorraine Day and take a look at the tumor this lady had. I've never in my life seen anything like it, ever. And she should be dead, but she's not, and she'll tell you why. And a whole lot more, and we'll cover some of this medical news breaking tonight on cancer and HIV. All right, can you imagine getting up in the morning to find your electricity, water, phone, TV, and radios don't work? Car might not start.
We just did that.
Thank you very much, but we just did that. See, I thought I made a mistake and again walked upon myself, but I really didn't. It was this rotten computer. I hope when Y2K comes, I hope it kills this computer first. before I kill it. All right, here from, I think, Thousand Palms, California, is Dr. Lorraine Day. Doctor?
Hello.
Well, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Boy, it's great to have you back, and you sound great.
Well, I am. I'm healthy as everything.
Go figure. All right. A lot of my audience will not know you, so if you would, take us back to the days at San Francisco.
All right. I'll just give you my credentials, because when I tell you the things I'm going to tell you, a lot of people will say, well, where did this woman come from? She can't really be a doctor. So I'll give you my credentials.
Please.
I am a medical doctor, an MD. I was on the faculty of the University of California, San Francisco Medical School for 15 years as associate professor and vice chairman of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. I was also chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital, where I was a trauma orthopedic surgeon taking care of all the gunshot wounds and the stabbings and the motor vehicle accidents and the gang wars and all of that for the 15 years I was there. So I have always been in the mainstream of academic medicine. I've never been on the fringes, and I am still licensed to practice medicine. And my life took a different turn when I developed cancer. And by that time, I'd seen thousands of patients die from the treatment we give them, actually, because all doctors know that chemotherapy and radiation destroy your immune system, which is the only system you have in your body that can get you well and keep you well from virtually any disease, including cancer. And both chemotherapy and radiation actually cause cancer. There are many articles in the literature about that. So I figured that I needed to rebuild my immune system rather than to destroy it with all of the medical treatments that are generally prescribed. And of course, my colleagues thought I was crazy, and they told me I was going to die, and they were wrong.
Let me take you back a little bit, if I might, and we'll sort of work forward. When you were working in emergency medicine, what was that like? I mean, all of us have probably one time or another been in an emergency room of a big hospital, and it's sort of sometimes controlled anarchy. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. It is sort of controlled anarchy, isn't it?
Well, actually, everybody knows what to do. I mean, we have done it for so long that everybody knows their place. Everybody knows exactly where they're to be positioned at the patient's side or head or wherever. And so before the patient hits the door, we all know our jobs. And so it may seem like it's pandemonium, but it's not. There is a lot of calling out because there's a lot of commotion going on, and people are moving very rapidly. But everybody knows their job, and it's not a scary thing at all for people who do it all the time.
So something like that, the strain of that wouldn't kill you. In other words, working under that kind of life and death, hour after hour after hour, life and death situations, the stress of that does not doesn't go to work on you. Huh?
Well, actually, you know, I did it probably longer than any trauma surgeon maybe in the country. Most trauma surgeons only last about 5 years and they kind of burn out.
Right.
I did it really for, including my residency, I did it for 20 years and probably was the longest standing trauma surgeon around. But it did take its toll. I didn't realize it at the time because I loved my job and it was very exciting. But I lived on about 4 hours of sleep a night for about 20 years. And I would frequently operate as long as 22 hours on one patient. I operated continuously for 72 hours at a time on different patients without any sleep and with very little food.
Yeah, see, there you are. That's, in essence, what I was asking. In other words, that kind of life after a while, doesn't
destroys it... destroys your immune system.
That's where I was going. Doesn't it go to work on your immune system?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It destroys your immune system. I didn't realize it at the time. I thought I was made of iron and really did hold up for quite a long time. I didn't get cancer until I was about 55. I developed cancer when I was 55. It's amazing that I didn't develop it earlier because of the way I lived. But yes, it's you need to sleep at night. People need to at least get their 8 hours of sleep a day, and if they don't do that, their body's going to break down.
Well, I know that you also began to have concerns about your own immune system with regard to AIDS. This was in the early days of AIDS, and I think you and I did interviews going back. How long ago? When was the first interview you and I did?
Well, it must have been in the late 80s or early 90s.
That's right. Late 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And you had a confrontation, I guess, with the hospital over policies with regard to AIDS and blood that was all around and everything, and you finally decided for your own benefit you were going to toss it in.
Well, actually, I had operated on more AIDS patients than any surgeon in the country, and I'd been doing that without any particular protection other than what we usually wear in the operating room. I'd been doing that for 9 years of the epidemic. I had been talking to the Centers for Disease Control and the government and organized medicine saying, look, if drug addicts can get AIDS from a needle stick, well, certainly a healthcare worker could get AIDS from a needle stick.
Sure.
And they kept telling me, no, 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 it can't happen. And I said, you know, you people must be out of your mind. And, of course, they were not in the operating room, so they didn't really care what happened to the rest of us. But not only was I in the operating room every day, but I felt an obligation to, I had 12 residents and interns on my service at all times. I had 8 other doctors who were working for me, and then all the nurses in the operating room. I had an obligation for their safety. And so all the time the government kept telling me, no, 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 it can't happen. And then on October 2, 1987, the first nurse was found to be positive from a single needle stick, and it was at our hospital. And that's when I sort of decided that something needed to be done. And so I got the hospital to agree that I could test my patients with an informed signed consent. And they all agreed, and then suddenly it hit the newspapers a few days later that the headlines were uproar over San Francisco doctors' testing policy, and the very doctors who were my colleagues and my friends who had agreed, the other chiefs of the various services, had agreed that I could do this, and it was within the rules of the hospital, they came out to the newspaper and said that they hadn't agreed and that I was doing this on my own, and they were against it. And so that's the way the controversy started. And I couldn't figure out for a long time why they would do that. But after a number of years on the circuit and understanding politics, I did understand.
And you ran smack into the politics of AIDS, that great
right.
wall.
Right.
All right. Since then, a lot of water has gone under the bridge. A lot of people have died.
Yes.
Almost every week or 2 weeks, I see a new story about, well, this is, we've found a way to do this or that with AIDS, and we think we've got a vaccine. And then, of course, a little while later, they say, well, oops, we don't have a vaccine. We thought we did. Sorry, we don't. And various cures. There has been some progress in keeping AIDS patients alive longer with these protease inhibitors and this soup they give them. And tonight, even tonight, I've got another one. HIV-killing proteins found in tears. Seems that tears and the urine of pregnant women, even saliva, tends to kill the AIDS virus in test tubes.
That's right. Anything that works in a test tube is really useless unless you have many, many more years of studies in animals and then human beings. I mean, it is ridiculous to make for the government or organized medicine or the pharmaceutical company that is doing this research to have a lot of hoopla surrounding this. What this does is it makes a big stampede for the stock market to invest in
money.
This particular company.
Sure, a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, but other than that, it has very little...
on the other hand, the other day, Doctor, I read a story that now 1 in 8 Africans are infected with HIV. That's 1 in 8.
Right.
So from the 80s, when you and I talked, to today, where have we come with AIDS and where are we going?
We have 33 million people around the world infected with AIDS, and we have 13 million deaths already. And there is no end in sight, and the government really has no intention of controlling AIDS, nor does the United Nations, nor anyone else.
Oh, well.
And I found that out the hard way. I have lots of documentation for that. For a long time, I thought that if they just were informed of what was happening, they would do something about it, but they do not. They're not going to.
Protease inhibitors, they do seem to be having some effect in longevity of people infected. How effective are they?
Well, see, the thing is, it doesn't matter if you are sick with AIDS and you are eventually going to die and you are on all sorts of medicines with all sorts of side effects. That's not really a life. What people need to do is to get well. Now, I'm going to drop a bombshell right here.
Sure.
All right?
I like bombshells.
I know of 300 people who have gotten well from AIDS. I didn't know about this when I was interviewed by you years ago. I didn't know there was any cure for AIDS. We are told publicly that AIDS is incurable. We are also told publicly that really cancer is incurable, that you can go into remission, but you cannot be cured.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true. You can be cured of cancer, as I have been cured of cancer, because you can reverse the factors that allowed the cancer to develop in the first place, and you can rebuild the immune system. Now, AIDS is just a form of cancer. AIDS is acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It's an acquired condition where your immune system is deficient. Well, cancer is virtually the same thing. In fact, virtually all disease is a result of the immune system not working properly.
Well,
every doctor will admit that.
Cancer is the out-of-control growth of cellular material, right? In other words, a tumor that just, for some reason, everything goes berserk. I mean, in a lot of ways, if you could control cancer, you might live forever.
Actually, it's not really that berserk. Cancer cells aren't totally out of control. We like to think that. In fact, that's what we teach in medicine. But when you really get down to it, they're not totally out of control. In fact, the body does a wonderful job of isolating those cancer cells. And that's one reason you form a tumor, is because the body is putting this all in one area. And when the cancer goes into your lymph nodes, we surgeons are prone to take out the lymph nodes.
Right.
But this is crazy, because if you had an infection in your foot and the lymph nodes in your groin were swollen,
yes.
You would never go to a surgeon and ask him to remove the lymph nodes in your groin.
Not for an infection, right.
They're doing their job. They are keeping the infection from spreading.
Right.
Well, when you get cancer in your lymph nodes, the lymph nodes are doing the same thing. They are keeping the cancer from spreading. So what we doctors do is we take out your lymph nodes, which is part of your immune system, which is part of the barrier that keeps the cancer from spreading all over the place.
Okay.
Then we give you chemotherapy and radiation, destroy
right.
your immune system, and so then the cancer can spread everywhere.
You said 300 people have been cured of AIDS. How?
By virtually the same type of plan that I got well from cancer. And, again, I would not believe this for a long time until I got some of those patients' medical records in my hands and saw where the tests were done, how bad they were. And for those of you who are medical that are listening, some of these patients even had opportunistic infections such as histoplasmosis encephalitis, where they were in the intensive care unit with, this is a fungal infection of the brain, which really only occurs with AIDS and other very suppressed immune syndromes. And these patients are now well, totally well, and HIV negative.
I have never heard anything like this.
Right.
In other words, once HIV positive, always HIV positive,
right.
And eventually you're going to get AIDS, inevitably. That's what I had always heard.
Well, that's what I had always heard, and that's what I used to think, and that's what I used to say. But now I know differently. I used to also think that if you had cancer, that there really was no cure. There was only a possibility of remission. But I know better now.
Well, even in the bad old days, surgeons were occasionally able to remove a cancerous growth and get it all. I mean, they occasionally got lucky, didn't they, and removed essentially all the cancer without having a recurrence in 5 years or more?
Well, there are people who have had their cancers removed and, you know, for any, maybe even 20 years, they have not returned. Most of those people, not all, but many of those people have had chemotherapy and radiation. Now, I know of people who have had their tumors return, you know, 8, 9, 10 years after
sure.
that.
Sure.
Because you don't ever really get all the cancer cells. Because the tumor always comes back.
Yep.
The same blood that's going through the tumor goes through the rest of your body, and you can never get all the tumor cells. If you have enough immune system left after you've had the treatment to destroy those cells that come back, then you may survive. But unless you change the way you're eating and living, you will either get that cancer again, another cancer, or another disease.
All right, doctor, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to delve into this because, as you know, I've got somebody in my family, my dad, and I'll sort of give you an update on that. And we'll see what Dr. Day thinks. Probably not much, but we'll find out. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Stick with us. It's going to be a fascinating night. Sax, can't he? Good morning, everybody.
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. from east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
That's exactly what it is, and I'm Art Bell. Dr. Lorraine Day is here, and we'll get back to her in just a moment. Well, all right, once again, Dr. Lorraine Day. Doctor?
Yes.
I want to tell you a quick story about my father. Mm-hmm. My father came up a couple of years ago with melanoma on his scalp, and they removed it, and it took quite a while to heal. He had to go into a hyperbolic chamber to get it to heal. It was tough to heal. And he got it all healed up, and everything was well for a while. Then, a couple of months ago, he felt something in his neck, and as the doctor told him, one little lousy cell somehow got through, and he ended up with a melanoma tumor in his neck. He's in his 80s, early 80s, and so he thought that that was it, that was the end. He considered what to do and considered that he might not get an operation, not proceed with any kind of treatment at all. However, he did proceed to have the melanoma tumor removed from his neck and is entering the Sloan Kettering immunization program on top of that. In other words, to try and they have this new treatment which removes some of your own cancer cells and in some way treats them. I'm not really on top of it, and then injects them back into your tumor, I guess, and the tumor goes to work on itself. That's what he's doing, and I when I said I didn't think you'd think much of it, I imagine I'm telling the truth. What do you know about this?
Well, yes, I do know about that, and in fact, a type of that treatment has been around for quite some time. It's interesting that most of these things, like you were talking about this treatment that was just on the news about decreasing the blood supply to tumors.
Yes.
All of these came out of alternative medicine. That one came out of shark cartilage. The one that you're talking about now that they're going to be trying on your father is very similar to an alternative vaccine that was started by Dr. Virginia Livingston Wheeler, who was practically run out of town by organized medicine, even though she
really
was an MD. So these things have been around for some time. But let's just think about the cause of cancer. All you have to do is look in your newspaper and look in magazines, and I've got a number of articles right here in front of me from the Washington Post. More evidence, fruit and veggies fight cancer. Wall Street Journal, animal fat in the diet seems to promote the growth of tumors, according to Harvard researchers published in the Journal of National Cancer Institute. A link between diet and birth defects grows stronger, according to the New England Journal of Medicine. Study points to another tentative link between red meat and prostate cancer, again, Wall Street Journal. All of these things show that it is our diet and lifestyle that causes the cancer. And, in fact, the Harvard School of Public Health has said 65% of all cancer could be prevented by a change in diet and lifestyle. So if 65, I say it's 99%, but if they admit that 65% of cancer could be prevented by a change in diet and lifestyle, then we have to admit that the cause of at least 65% of cancer is the wrong diet and lifestyle. So then what we've got to do, rather than give medicines or vaccines or things like that, is we've got to change the factors that caused the problem in the first place. For example, when an American gets a headache, or when anybody gets a headache, they usually take an aspirin. But headaches are not caused by a deficiency of aspirin, right?
Well, that's right.
All right. So headaches are caused by too much tension, too much stress, not drinking enough water, eating the wrong foods, maybe caffeine withdrawal, many different causes, but they're certainly not caused by a deficiency of aspirin. Cancer is not caused by a deficiency of chemotherapy, nor is it caused
right.
by a deficiency of radiation.
Right.
And in fact, I had breast cancer. I didn't have cancer of the breast because I had too many breasts. Cutting them off does not solve the problem, you see? So what we've got to do is reverse the factors that allowed the cancer to develop in the first place.
So that even after the cancer has developed, and of course we have a picture of your cancer on our website, which is just beyond all belief. I mean, I've never in my life seen a tumor of that size and magnitude on anybody ever. I'm sure as a doctor you probably have, but my God almighty, that thing was... how big was it?
It was the size of a grapefruit. Actually, most doctors have not seen a tumor that size either. When I show those pictures to my doctor colleague friends, they gasp as well, because most people have them either burned off with radiation or poisoned out with chemotherapy before they get that size, and then the patient usually dies from the result of the chemotherapy and radiation.
So when your tumor was growing, you obviously looked at those options and said no.
Right. I did say no, because I knew that they would destroy my immune system, and that was my only hope for getting well. And
You must have had some moments, doctor, when even you, as it grew to that size, when even you were wondering whether you'd made the right choice.
Well, I was so close to death that at one time I was not expected to live through the night, but I still refused to have conventional therapy, because I knew that if I was that close to death, conventional therapy would finish me off in about a day. So I chose to hang in there and stay with the natural medicine. And, of course, I am totally well. And even though I had a portion of that large tumor, what we call debulked, I had some of it removed because it was getting ready to burst onto my chest. I still had cancer all through my chest wall, in the nodes under my arm and above my clavicle. And slowly over a period of 8 months, the cancer all reversed itself. And in an additional 10 months, I was totally well. So it took me 18 months from the time I was so terribly sick and not expected to live until I was totally well.
Well, would most doctors practice what they preach? In other words, if they ended up with cancer of the sort that you had, do you think that most mainstream physicians, knowing what they know, would refuse the traditional treatments as well?
That's
a kind of a touchy question, I know.
No, I would say that most of them would go with traditional therapy because they don't know anything else, and I didn't know anything else for a long time. In fact, I will have to say publicly, and I try to do this frequently, is thank the good listeners out there in radio land who actually started sending me information that put me on my search to find out that this was the way to get well. I found this out before I ever developed cancer because they clued me in, and if I had never found out all the skullduggery that was going on in the AIDS epidemic, I could never have believed that there was such a big cover-up in cancer cures.
Read me the list. If you've got cancer and you want to get rid of it, you mentioned vegetables, but there's got to be a lot more to it than that. What change in lifestyle, change in diet, from what to what?
Well, just let me give you an idea. Of the average American now eats in his lifetime 15 cows, 24 hogs, 12 sheep, 900 chickens, and 1,000 pounds of assorted other animals that walk, swim, and fly.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
That's a lot of animal flesh going through a human body.
Yes, it is.
In 1900, the average American ate about 300 pounds of grains a year and 200 pounds of potatoes. By 1985, the consumption of grains fell by 50%. The consumption of potatoes fell by 50%. Our intake of milk increased by 50%, and our consumption of chicken went up 300% and beef 50%. During that same period of time, so we have exchanged a plant-based diet for a flesh food-based diet. In that same period of time, the incidence of cancer and heart disease and all other degenerative diseases has skyrocketed.
I know.
So what you've got to do is reverse that. I started on a totally vegan diet, meaning no animal products whatsoever. Fruits, grains, vegetables, and I started drinking. I ate three meals a day. I started drinking a lot of fresh carrot juice and fresh green leafy vegetable juice because it's filled with lots of natural antioxidants, which you need to clean up the cancer cells in your body and reverse the problems as well as clean out the toxins. I also started drinking a lot of water. The body is 75% water. The brain is 85% water. One thing we do is dehydrate our bodies. I was a big coffee drinker. Coffee is a diuretic. It takes more water out of your body than comes in with the drink. So I started drinking a lot of water, a lot of fresh vegetable juice. In fact, I drank the juice of 13 fresh vegetable juices a day. And I'll tell you, I drank the juice of the following every week. I drank the juice of 35 pounds of carrots, 84 apples, 21 heads of romaine lettuce, 5 heads of red cabbage, 5 bunches of red chard, 7 green peppers, and 5 bunches of endive.
Oh, my God.
But what you see is cancer is a deficiency disease. We are all suffering from malnutrition because we are eating a lot of calories, but we're not eating enough vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. Our body can only make cells out of the raw materials we put in our mouth.
Right.
If we put bad things in our mouth, we'll make bad cells that get sick. If we put good things in our mouth, we will build good cells. So I started nourishing my body and putting a lot of water and a lot of nutrition into my body. And when you do it in juice form, now I ate 3 meals a day, but I drank juices in between. When you do it in juice form, your body doesn't have to spend a lot of energy digesting that. It goes right into
right.
your stomach and into your right. bloodstream.
Right. Wait. You said you ate 3 meals a day along with this.
Right.
What kind of meals?
Like for breakfast, I would have oatmeal and some fruit. For lunch, I would have, say, a baked potato with flaxseed oil, which has good omega-3 and 6 oils in it. Omega-3 and 6 oils in it. And I would have lemon juice on it. It tastes just like butter. And then I would have maybe some steamed vegetables, broccoli and cauliflower. And then I'd have a nice big salad with a lot of raw vegetables and sprouts, bean sprouts, and that I would sprout in my own kitchen, alfalfa sprouts, and even you can sprout your grains. And then for dinner in the evening, I might have fruit again or a light dinner with another fresh salad or something like that. And so you eat very well, really. You can have yams or organic brown rice and things like that. So it's not like you're on a starvation diet. You have plenty of food. But then I would get out in the sunlight every day because sunlight reduces the size of internal cancerous tumors.
It does?
Yes, it does. It is well documented in medical literature. Most doctors are not taught this. I wasn't. I had to find it on my own.
Now, wait a minute. My dad blames his melanoma on all the early days of the time he spent in the sun.
Just think about this. For thousands of years, human beings have been living outside. They've been working outside. And skin cancer is a disease, and melanoma is really a disease that's been occurring in the last 50 to 60 years. Was virtually unheard of before that time. They did a study at Baylor University where they took two groups of experimental animals. They gave one group the standard American diet. The other group was given a highly nutritious diet. Then they exposed both of them to the ultraviolet rays of the sun. In the group on the standard American diet, 25% got skin cancer. In the group that was fed a highly nutritious diet, not one animal got skin cancer.
Really?
So it is the diet that we're eating that is eliminating our barriers to the damaging rays of the sun, so we then are not allowed to get the healing rays of the sun.
Well, I too believe that the sun certainly helps in some, definitely in some ways. I mean, even with regard to fungal growth, incidental fungal growth, that kind of thing, you know, you've got it, you can literally turn into sort of a fungus if you don't get in the sun. I know, because that's me. So,
well, you can't grow a garden without sunlight.
That's absolutely.
You can't have a healthy person without sunlight.
Hmm.
So sunlight does all sorts of things. It boosts your immune system. It lowers your blood pressure. It actually calms your nervous system because it decreases a chemical called cyclic AMP in your cells, which is increased with stress and coffee drinking and things like that. That's why you fall asleep in the sun. Sun does all sorts of wonderful things for you. Now, I'm not saying go out there and get burned, but you do need sunlight. They also did an experiment where they took two groups of experimental animals that already had cancerous tumors, and they had one group breathe indoor air and another group breathe outdoor air. The group breathing indoor air, their tumors grew twice as fast as the group breathing outdoor air. So we need outside air. I started getting out in the sun and the fresh air every day. Even when I was too sick to walk, my husband had to practically carry me out there and put me in the sun, again, not at the hottest time of day, and I would get fresh air. And when I was strong enough to walk, I started walking so I could get exercise, because cancer cannot thrive in a high oxygen environment. And the way you get oxygen around to your body is to get your blood circulating and get it well oxygenated, with particularly with outside air. So proper nutrition, lots of water, fresh vegetable juice, sunlight, fresh air, sleep. Sleep at the proper time of night. The healing hormones are produced in the body between 10 p.m. and 2 o'clock in the morning. And so people who have cancer or other serious diseases need to be in bed early. And the only time the body can really heal itself is when you're sleeping. And cancer patients need a lot of rest, a lot of sleep. So I started getting plenty of sleep. I got the stress out of my life. And, in fact, this is a very important thing. I could not get well, even though I was doing all the other things, until I learned to get the stress out of my life. Now, I started out with meditation and visualization, but I had some pretty horrible experiences. And then I learned also that when you are practicing meditation, your brain is in alpha waves, and those are the hypnotic escapism waves where you're not really solving the problem. And I turned to Bible study and prayer, even though I'd been an agnostic for 30 years of my adult life, because you are in beta waves, which are the alert waves, which are the problem-solving waves. And I gave my stress and all of my problems, which everybody has, to God, and I was able to have some peace and calmness, and then I started to get well.
All right, Doctor, hold on. We'll get right back to you after the top of the hour. My guest is Dr. Lorraine Day, and if you doubt what she's saying, go to the website, go down to her name, and look at the photographs and gasp. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
Up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories haunt, and they use them to help us to
from the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, I seem to be here, amazingly. because I do all the wrong things, the exact opposite of what Dr. Day is talking about. So I constantly surprise myself that I'm here. We'll get back to Dr. Day in a moment. Well, all right, Dr. Day is my guest. Let me briefly review what she's had to say in the sense that when I consider my life, I work during the precious hours of nurturing sleep that I should be getting, as in right now. What did she say? I think between 10 and 2. I'm on from 10 to 3 in the morning, so that about takes care of those hours. I have been a hamburger fiend all my life. Love fries. Hate vegetables. Especially some vegetables. Lima beans, for example, I used to take those like pills, you know, to get to my dessert. My mom would make me take them, so I would eat. I'd eat a lima bean. I didn't eat it, really. That implies one chews it. I would take my lima beans like pills and wash them down with milk so I didn't have to taste them. Like pills. And then most other veggies. I'm not a big fan of veggies at all. I eat salads, some salads, but most vegetable, I like corn. Most other vegetables, ick. I depend on coffee. And, of course, I smoke. And then I sleep during the daylight hours, so I don't get a lot of sun because I work all night. So I should be totally doomed, Doctor.
Well, you are living kind of the life that I lived, and I was going along just fine until suddenly one day I had a tumor. I also should tell you that the first sign, the first symptom of a heart attack in 50% of those who have them is sudden death.
First symptom of a heart attack is sudden death.
Right. So we can be going along just fine.
And then boom.
And then boom. And with cancer, at least you have a chance to change the things that you've been doing.
Well, that's true.
And with 50% of heart attacks, you don't. And so I just feel very fortunate that I developed cancer because I relied on coffee. I was up all night as well. You know, I was operating all night. I was working all day.
What about somebody like myself? Now, you said 10 and 2 at night.
Right.
Does it have to be night?
Well, it's a lot better if it's night because, again, we are made to be up during the daytime, during the daylight hours, and to be sleeping at night. But certainly, if you get 8 hours of sleep, it's better any time of day than not. I wasn't even getting that.
No, I don't get that. I sleep in two shifts. I sleep a little in the morning and a little in the afternoon. That's it.
Well, you're waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And again, you see, that I thought that I was just going along just fine. People used to say, you're working too hard. You can never hold up working like this. And I said, what is it? You know, you're just wimping out here. I can handle this just fine.
But you didn't.
No. See, health is a result of healthful living, and disease is a result of unhealthy living. It's just that simple. And so you can start changing over gradually. You don't have to change over all at once as I did. I had to change over all at once in order to survive. But you don't have to because at least we don't know of any serious disease you have at this moment.
As of yet.
But you can change over slowly, start drinking a lot more water, ease up a little bit on the coffee slowly, get rid of it slowly.
My coffee?
Well, you don't have to get rid of it all at once. And then start having some vegetables, more vegetables that you like, and then start having an occasional vegetable that you don't much care for, but... You can learn to eat it, and it's amazing how you can actually start liking them. See, here's one reason you don't like vegetables. When you live on a diet of meat, I don't know, are you a big sugar eater too?
No.
Okay.
That's my one thing I do. No,
one
I don't.
One virtue, huh?
Yeah, I don't drink pop or anything like that. I don't eat candy. I'm not a sugar person.
Okay. Well, that's another thing that will kill people is sugar because it paralyzes the immune system for 5 hours after you eat it. So then you can't resist any kind of disease. But I forgot where I was.
Well, sugar.
No, but we were talking about something before sugar.
We were with heart attacks.
Well, we were talking also about vegetables, and if you start, I was telling you why you don't like vegetables.
I couldn't remember because I'm sure I blocked that out.
when you're eating meat, you see, not only do you have the stimulation of all the hormones that are given to the animals to make them grow bigger,
yes,
faster,
yeah,
and that is very stimulating to your body, but when the animal is killed, it knows it's going to die. And so it's terrified. And so it pours out huge amounts of stress hormones, which are very stimulating. And so when you eat that flesh food, you eat those stimulating hormones.
So are you saying then if we were to sneak up on a cow and hit it over the head with a pan when it wasn't looking, we'd be better off?
Probably. Probably.
Interesting.
However, people become actually addicted to those stimulating hormones. That's why when people first stop eating meat, they feel like they've lost their energy at first, and it's just that they have to settle down from all those stimulating hormones. So if you start easing off on the meat a bit and start putting in some more vegetables and start drinking a lot of water, you will be amazed.
Well, my wife makes me drink water.
Well, that's good for her. That's probably why you're still standing.
Oh, that may be. Vitamins and this giant glass of water. And she always does it just before I go on the air, so I feel like I'm sloshing into the room. But so I drink a lot of water. I guess that's, I do a couple of good things. But, boy, to give up my coffee and give up my meat and cigarettes.
You may not have to give up your coffee. It may be forced out of your life by circumstances.
What, coffee, please?
I had to give up coffee even before I developed cancer because I was having rather severe digestive problems that I figured were due to my coffee, and indeed they were.
Yeah, but how could you wake up in the morning, stumble out, and not have a cup of coffee there? I mean, what replaces a cup of coffee?
It was very difficult, I can tell you. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to give up. But I was starting to become symptomatic, and it was having a major impact on my life, and so I had to give it up. But this was before I had developed cancer. But this was one of the components that that gave me cancer. You see, caffeine also is toxic to the neurologic system, and it can contribute to many neurologic diseases as well because it's a toxin.
You know, I look at what would have to be done, and I say to myself, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I could do that. I'm honestly not, to shift my diet away from meat, give up my precious coffee, my cigarettes, start eating these coarse, foul vegetables. This is, of course, my perspective on things here. I eat vegetables only because I'm made to. my mother or my wife. I don't ever... There's never a time, ever, when I say, God, I wish I had some string beans. Could you whip me up some string beans? Never.
Well, I don't say that either. What? I don't say that either about string beans. But the thing is, I enjoy string beans when I eat them. Now, let me tell you, the last time I was on, I talked about my 85-year-old mother, who is now 87, and she developed a severe autoimmune disease. My mother was a sugarholic. She loved all of her delicious food and all of her sauces and, you know, cheese and all those things like that. And she developed this severe autoimmune disease called polymyalgia rheumatica. It's in the same category as lupus and rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
The doctors wanted to put her on high-dose cortisone. I knew she'd have a stroke because cortisone has all sorts of side effects. So I said, absolutely not. The doctors got very upset with me. They tried to talk sense to me. I brought her out to my house, and I put her on this plan. And I want to tell you what happened. Now, she was 85 years old.
Right.
Within 3 weeks, we were able to get her off of all four high blood pressure medications that she had been on for as long as 35 years in 3 weeks. Her blood pressure was normal. Within four months, her cholesterol dropped from 280 to 120. Her triglycerides, which is a measure of the fat in your blood,
right.
Normal is 200 or below. Hers were 565. They dropped to 160 in 4 months. Within 6 months, she was totally well and had never been on any medications whatsoever. Now, when she first started out on the program, she would sit at the table, and her lower lip would hang out, and she would sit there and pout and
yeah,
she'd
that'd
say,
be me.
I don't like this.
That'd be me.
And I would say to her, Mom, just like she said to me when I was a little kid, I said, Mom, eat your vegetables. And I said, you're too sick to fix anything else. You either sit there and you eat it or you don't get anything. And she hated carrot juice at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And she would look at me and she'd say, you look like you like this stuff. And I said...
Yeah, that's what I suspect, too.
And I said, well, but I learned to like. I said, I do. So anyway, within a few months, she started to learn to like it because as she got the sugar out of her system and all the rich food out of her system, now she eats that way all the time. She is now 87 years old. She is still on no medication. Her blood pressure is normal. She walks a mile a day. She drinks her water, and she's just doing great.
All right. On behalf of all of the people doing all the wrong things like myself, I've got to ask the following question. There are, we all know, these people who have been health nuts. They eat fruits and nuts and vegetables, and that's all they ate, and they would preach about it. And then they have heart attacks or strokes in their early 50s or even earlier, and the nation goes, oh, my God, look at that person. They were leading the perfect life. They were eating just what they were supposed to eat, and they fell over dead. And then there is the lady who quit smoking at 118 years of age, and says she figures it's time to quit at 118. So what about that? In other words, is it, it's not flawless. In other words, things can still happen to you that take you out early, right?
Well, first of all, let's just talk about what is the cause of disease, and it's not just diet. Remember I said that diet is critical
yes.
for recovery from a serious disease, a
right.
change of diet, but it is not the total thing. The plan, I have videos out where I have the whole plan that I use to get well, and it is a 10-part plan. The food, the nutrition, is only one part of the 10-part plan. The others are proper exercise, getting out in the fresh air, getting out in the sunlight, elimination of processed food and sugar and all of these chemicals that are in the food, and then learning to get the stress out of your life. Do you know, even though the statistics say the number one cause of death in America is heart disease and number two is cancer, the real number one cause of death in America is anger.
Anger?
Right.
Oof.
Anger. And people are angry about everything, and a lot of people have anger stuffed down inside. Now, I had some anger that I didn't even know I had. I had been through a very unpleasant divorce and a custody battle for my children, and I had a lot of anger about that I didn't really understand. And I had to learn to get rid of that. And that's where my trust in God came in, because I had to learn to give that to the Lord and get rid of that anger. And when I did, and I started trying to be benevolent to other people, being thankful for what I had, being thankful that I wasn't dead, and when I started looking at life that way, then the nutrition could start healing my body. Because people are so angry about so many things, they can eat right, but if they're all stressed out inside, they're going to have a heart attack.
Well, I hear that. Now, I have anger, but I externalize it. I don't internalize it. If I have anger, I let it out. But I have anger.
Well, I let my anger out, too. So that doesn't necessarily
help
take care of it. What we've got to do is actually, this is the hardest thing to do. You've got to learn to love your enemies. And that is, that's a very difficult thing, and I can't tell you that I have arrived, but I've made some progress.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever arrive all the way at that destination.
But I can tell you, you know, when you start living life like this, see, when you're angry, your stomach contracts, so you can't digest your food. Your intestinal peristalsis stops, so you can't eliminate your waste.
Can't even sleep right, I know.
And your adrenal glands pour out all sorts of immune-suppressing hormones.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I know you're right. Hold on, doctor. We'll be right back. She is so right. Anger does all of that to you and more. I know she's right. But I also know that I'm doing all the wrong stuff, and I mean all the wrong stuff. The opposite of almost everything. The only place I got any points at all was sugar, and I don't think that's going to save me. We'll be right back. I'm Art Bell.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the Wirecard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
That would be me. Good morning, everybody. Dr. Lorraine Day is here, and I think we're going to pick up on the issue of stress in a moment, and we're going to get the phone lines open pretty soon, too. But if you want to know what this woman has done, go to my website. I'm telling you, you have, in your life, never seen anything like it. What she had, and now what she is. She did what she says she did. There's no doubt about it. The visual proof is right there. And she's very healthy at the moment. Dr. Lorraine Day cured herself of cancer. And I guess if you listen to what she says and follow directions, you could hope to do the very same thing. I don't see why not. We'll be right back. All right, back now to Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Day, you were talking about stress, you know, above and beyond everything else. I'm a real serious type A person, no question about it. You can't do a five-hour talk show five nights a week and then 3 hours on Sunday and not be pretty type A. And there's a lot of stress in the work I do. I mean, there's a great deal of stress in the work I do. It may not seem that way sometimes on the air. And usually on the air, there's not. But, you know, in the rest of the job, there's a very great deal of stress. There's just one thing about it, though. I love it. I thrive on it. Now, what do you say to that?
I loved my job, too. I thrived on it. I did it for 20 years, and I loved every minute of it. And I did not, even at the time, understand how stressful it was.
Of course not. But isn't it part of life? I mean, isn't getting out there and living life to its fullest part of life?
I'm not suggesting that people have to stop their jobs. I do suggest that people need to get 8 hours of sleep a night, certainly seven, and get exercise and fresh air and things like that. And I'm not suggesting that you have a job that is stress-free. It is not so much the stress that you have, it is the way you handle it. Hmm. And that's what I had to learn, how to handle stress without having it destroy me. And there is a way to do that. And that was the toughest job that I had to learn.
All right. What is that way? In other words, stress is stress. It's pressure. It means you're under some sort of deadline or you have to perform in some way, in my case, or whatever it is. It's pressure. It's stress.
I tried a whole lot of different ways, as I talked about. I tried meditation. I tried various other forms of stress relief.
Right.
And the only way I could do it was to, and again, you're talking to a person who was an agnostic for 30 years, I had to turn to God and learn how to study my Bible and pray. And that's the way I learned to relieve my stress. And you might say, well, that sounds pretty simplistic. Not when you start really doing it. It didn't happen instantaneously that my stress was relieved. It took some real diligent effort in Bible study and prayer. And when I started doing that, every single day, I would get up, and in fact, I still do. I spend an hour in prayer and Bible study with the Lord every single morning. That's the first thing I do when I get out of bed. And that has changed my life.
Well, you were agnostic, you said,
right,
as a physician. And I think a lot of physicians are agnostic,
right,
at the very least, aren't they?
Right.
How did you change that? In other words, how did the spiritual change come?
Well, actually, the spiritual change started before I developed cancer. When I was speaking all over the world about the AIDS epidemic, and I developed some very high-level contacts in the government and in various undercover agencies, and they started sending me lots of information, much like what you get. And when I started seeing all this information and seeing the documents, it was pretty frightening. And so I went through a very difficult time, but when I was going through this, one day I was getting ready to do another radio show on all of this information, and I had already had my life threatened by the government by that time and things like that, and that's not really comfortable. And so I was sitting there going over my material, and suddenly a light bulb went off over my head, figuratively, and I said, I remember when I was a kid, because I was raised in a religious family, but I threw it all away. I remember when I was a kid, things like I'm reading about in these documents I'm getting are in Revelation, in the book of Revelation in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to study it from an intellectual point of view to see if this had any relationship to what was happening right now. And in fact, I found out it did. And so I started studying just to try to figure out what was going on. And it was that way that I started to begin. And then I didn't develop a personal relationship with the Lord until I was truly, practically with my face in the dirt with this huge tumor on my chest, when I realized that medical knowledge could not save me. All of the schooling that I'd been to and through could not save my life. And I had to turn to the Lord and ask him to help show me how to get well.
Foxhole conversion.
Well, it wasn't. I was beginning my road before, but what I had to do, I had no place else to turn. Because I knew everything every other doctor did, and I knew that chemotherapy and radiation never really cure you. All they can do is try to, chemotherapy is poison.
Right.
You would never give it to a person who wasn't sick. Why would you give it to somebody who is sick?
Right. I guess the bet is that you try to kill the cancer before you kill the patient.
Yes, and usually you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I mean, this was not a good alternative. But I read there are a lot of promises, actually, in the Bible that say, if you obey my laws, my commands, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. Not meaning I will give you a reward. It's just that health is a result of healthful living. And all these rules and these guidelines are actually in the Bible. I went back to Genesis to find out how we were really meant to eat. And so when I started following these guidelines, I started getting well.
Well, I can't argue with that. Let's bring on some callers. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm calling from Youngstown.
Ohio, yes.
Yes, WKBN. Dr. Day, I was wondering what you were saying about, what you were talking about anger. By the way, I got up on your website, and I think that your story is an inspiration.
Oh, it is.
And what I wanted to know on the question of anger, is there more than one type of anger? Because I know I'm not I know several people who seem to be angry a lot, but is there such a thing as righteous anger? Is there such a thing as positive anger? Can it be used positively?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually.
Well, there is a reason to when you see someone being wronged, it is right, that's righteous indignation, but it's different than letting it take control of you. There is something constructive about if you come to the aid of someone who is being beaten to death,
mm-hmm.
that's a different kind of thing than when you are venting your rage on someone who has wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is totally different, yes. There are two different kinds.
Boy, I wouldn't begin to know how to do that. I'm the kind of person that, and I'm sure that caller is too, that if somebody comes after me, in other words, I'm a libertarian, and I'm sort of live and let live in my attitude about the world and people that I know. But when somebody comes after me, I tend to go after them even harder. In other words, I don't roll over. And I guess you're telling me that you've got to virtually learn to roll over. If somebody wrongs you in some way, you've got to intellectualize it to the point where it doesn't matter to you. You're going to not allow them to get to you or something or another. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, here's what you're saying. I'm not going to let someone else control my behavior.
That's right.
I'm going to control it myself rather than let someone else control it. But again, most of us are weak enough that we can't do that, and that's where I had to turn to God for the strength to do it. Now, you're talking to someone who also was like you. I had 90 patients frequently in the hospital, all very, very sick with terrible injuries. I had 12 residents and interns that were on my under me that I was training. I had to run a very tight ship. In fact, my residents called me Lorraine of Terror.
Lorraine of Terror.
So, I mean, I was like that. And
yes.
And so I had a lot of lessons to learn. And it was not easy. But I can tell you, it was that or die.
But, you know, suppose you took Lorraine of today and tried to put her back in the job that she had back then. You really couldn't do that job now, could you?
Well, I mean, as far as staying up all night, I wouldn't do that.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, to be in the tense situation of an emergency room or trauma medicine, without that edge.
Yes,
I
could do it better than I ever did it before.
You really think so?
Absolutely. I know I could. Absolutely.
And you could run a tight ship?
Yes.
Are you tempted to return?
No, because what I'm doing now is so much more fulfilling. Again, I'm showing people how they can get well from diseases that we in medicine have told them they can't get well from.
All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day and Art Bell. Hi.
Yes, how are you doing? I'm calling you from KFYI in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Day, what kind of juicer do you use? And are you familiar with the works of Norman Walker and Bernard Jensen?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Those were great men in the field. Right. I happen to have a Norwalk juicer, which is sort of the Cadillac of juicers.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you can
about
get,
1,500. I know.
Yeah,
oh,
you
yeah.
can get well on virtually any kind of juicer. I know people who've gotten well on Juice Man Junior juicers and Champions and all different kinds of juicers.
On that juicer, right? On your Norwalk juicer?
Yes.
I heard that is so thorough that the pulp that's left from it is like no better than sawdust. Is that true?
Well, no, it's good for compost.
It's good for compost?
Right.
I think I've read in their literature that, you know, it takes out a lot of nutrient value, but you can basically do that with any juicer.
Well, no, the other juicers aren't as good at taking out all the nutrition. But what I'm saying is, you can get well from cancer on virtually any juicer. But again, It's not just the juicing. It's the total 10-step plan. By the way, I should tell people, on my website, I have a chat session every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time where I will answer questions. People can come and talk to me directly, and my website is www.drday.com. That's drday.com.
All right, and we have a link up to you right now.
Yes.
As well. Let me tell you a little juicer story. I went on a cruise, and when you go on a cruise, they have these exercise rooms on the ship, you know, these vast exercise rooms. They have a juice bar. And for the first time in my life, my wife talked me into trying this tall glass of a million things juiced together. And I don't know how to put this delicately, but my number one and number two respectively turned red and purple, and it scared the hell out of me. Is that...
It had beet juice in it, that's why. It had beets in it.
God, I thought this was the end of the line. Nothing ever scared me so badly in my whole life.
Well, the thing is, when you start on juice, you don't want to mix a whole lot of things together. I can guarantee you, if I gave you a glass of fresh carrot and apple juice, you would like it.
Okay, well, maybe. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you speaking to me?
Well, I am.
Okay,
yes,
I'm sorry about that, Art.
Sorry. Where are you?
I'm over in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, pretty close to Baltimore, a native of San Francisco.
Yes,
sir. In 64 to come out here and get a license as a ship's officer. I've been in the Merchant Marine since 56.
Yes, sir.
The doctor's got it pretty close. I want to ask her if she knows anything about Dr. Samuel West in Orem, Utah.
No, I don't.
Okay. You're real close. What you're speaking about is life at the cellular level, sodium and potassium, white blood cells.
Right.
They generate electricity.
Right.
And as you know, the lymphatic system runs parallel to most of our blood vessels. And stress causes albumin or blood proteins to permeate the spaces between these white blood cells, shutting the electricity or the capability of the white blood cells to turn and create this electricity in the body. And usually it's water and salt that it brings with it. Well, Dr. Samuel West is one of 401 lymphologists in the world. There's 65 in the United States. And the first fact that he brings out is that stress causes the capillaries to dilate, consequently allowing these blood proteins to cluster in between the cells, shutting the electricity down in our body. Consequently, it's necessary to get these blood proteins into the lymphatic system so that the impurities can be purified through our lymphatic system. And at the top subclavian valve, this clean lymph goes back into the blood, and the blood, well, it's actually water. All the digested nutrients and minerals go back into our blood and actually satisfy our body. Well, the first fact that he brings out is that no matter what you eat, if you're under stress, these blood proteins cluster, and what starts is, if you're on the most healthy diet there is, cancer is the fermentation of glucose, and if you had beet juice or the most healthy diet in the world, if you're not oxygenated, the cancer starts to grow. It's just like, it's just as if you were making wine.
Well, I think she probably agrees, don't you, Doctor,
yeah,
with most of that?
Yeah, I do.
That's essentially what you said.
If you're stressed, you cannot digest your food. Your whole digestive tract really shuts down.
But try and explain to me how Dr. Lorraine of Terror could do her job, that same job in which you were declared to be a terror, with the same efficiency without the stress. In other words, when you're instructing interns, when you see one of them screw up and do something really stupid, how do you respond without internalizing stress, or externalizing it at least? I just don't understand. You're in a boom, 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 boom kind of job, and you've got to get it done, and you've got to train people, and you've got to be sure people don't die. How do you do that without the stress, Doctor?
Well, again, it's a little difficult to tell in a 1-2-3, but because I had to spend a lot of time learning that if I gave my life to God and he would help direct me, then I could rest assured that these things would get done, and in fact, I've become much more efficient because of it. I can tell that in my life. I am much more efficient than I was before, and
sure.
I was pretty efficient.
Sure, but you're not under the same kind of pressure that you were.
No, but I can tell you this. I was under, even when I spend a lot of time on the radio. I've done 400, 600, 800 radio shows on AIDS and all that before I ever got started
sure.
talking about cancer. And I was in a lot of confrontational situations.
Yep.
And the way I handle that now is totally different, but I still get my point across, but I don't get angry.
Okay.
Because, and it's just a change that takes place in your life, which is gradual. It is not instantaneous, where you learn, actually, you learn to see life better from the other person's point of view.
Well, I have learned to control anger in the sense that I fully understand that when you really just lose it and you get very, very, very angry, you become incredibly inefficient. You don't see the tree for the forest or the forest for the tree or whatever. You don't see anything. It's like the red blanket goes up in front of you and you begin lashing out foolishly and inefficiently. I've learned to channel my anger specifically so it's effectively applied, not just sort of randomly lashing out, which a lot of people do when they get angry. They totally lose it. So I've channeled anger, but that's still not the same thing as what you have done.
Well, that's right. And again, it was not easy for me to do, and I was dying. And it was only when I learned how to do that everything turned around. But when I had trust in those promises, if you obey my laws and my decrees and my commands, I will keep you free from every disease. And that's why there are all these things in the Bible that says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. It turns out that makes a physiologic difference in your body, and your cells then can learn to heal.
That's remarkable. That really is remarkable, and I have a feeling, of course, that you're absolutely right. All right, we're at the top of the hour, and I can allow you to go or stay for another hour. Your choice.
Well, I'd like to stay, and I would also, if anybody has to go, I'd just like to let them know, the those who aren't on the Internet, the tumor pictures are on my most recent videos. I have two new videos.
Oh, listen, everybody will still be here. Don't worry. Everybody's still
okay.
Here, and we'll get the information out when we get back. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Unscreened calls mean Art Bell never knows exactly what's coming next.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that I've been taking you to bed with me every night since November, and I am one satisfied woman. I'm obsessed. You've done an excellent job.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. He satisfies.
I am one satisfied woman.
You know, we should save that tape and use it as a promo.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S. First, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255 or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
It's exactly what it is. I'm Art Bell. Dr. Lorraine Day is here, and we're going to lay heavily into the phones this hour. She's got information coming up for you, so run and get a piece of paper and pencil, and we'll get you that information in a moment. By the way, I would like to remind you to order a copy of this program. You can call 24 hours a day, as with any guest we have on, 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. We've got links on the website to Dr. Day's website. And the photographs she mentioned we've got on the website as well. They are simply astounding. The proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the photograph, so I suggest you take a look. And as you listen to her, I know, and I suspect you know too, she is right. Well, all right, back now to Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Day, you have some tapes that you have put together, I guess. Is that correct?
Yes. Since I was on the last time, I had the two cancer tapes, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore and You Can't Improve on God, which is the exact plan I use to get well. Then I have another one called Diseases Don't Just Happen, where I go into virtually all different kinds of diseases and show from the medical literature why these diseases happen and how you can get well without drugs. And then as far as particularly anger, I have a video called Turn on the Light, Overcoming Anxiety and Depression, and that also includes anger and other kinds of psychological problems without drugs. And those are available by calling 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437. And let me just give out an address.
It's, all right, is that a 24-hour number?
Yes, it's a 24-hour number, but the last time I was on your show, the whole company that provided our phone answering service imploded, and so let me give out an address.
All right.
It's Rockford Press, that's R-O-C-K-F-O-R-D, Press, P.O. Box 8, and the city is Thousand Palms. Thousand is spelled out, Palms, California, 92276. We have a totally different answering service now, so it shouldn't implode, but if you have trouble getting through, at least you have an address.
All right. Give me the address again, Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8.
Where? Thousand Palms.
Thousand Palms.
That's the city. It's P.O. Box 8, and the city is Thousand Palms, California, 92276.
Palms, California. Okay. Just one other quick question, and I wonder if you've done any research in this area, Doctor. We've been getting a lot of information lately from people who claim that our own government is experimenting on us. Now, this is kind of going far afield from where we've been, and I won't take you there very long, but there is some admitted evidence that our government has done this, that areas have been sprayed, that toxins, that experiments have been run to see how quickly a biowarfare agent might be able to be spread, that sort of thing, that civilian populations have been experimented on. Do you know anything about any of that?
Yes, I do, and it's true. I know quite a bit about it firsthand. When I was an intern, we had a lot of patients dying in the hospital from an organism that was very, very rare. And as an intern, I just thought that this was happening maybe everywhere. But it turns out it was only happening in San Francisco. And it wasn't until 10 to 15 years later, it actually came out in a newspaper article. The government admitted that they had dumped this organism in the San Francisco Bay just to see what would happen and to see how many people would get it. Now, we also have evidence in the medical literature of the Tuskegee syphilis study.
Oh, of course.
That's very clear. And there are many books written documenting over and over again all of the experimenting that our government has done on citizens. We also have other articles in the medical literature about radiation studies done on people without their consent and without their knowledge. This is going on, has in the past, and continues to go on now.
Just thought I'd ask. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Where are you, please?
The phone's in New York City.
New York City, all right.
I hope you don't mind my saying this, but that doctor's name is Teplitsky, I'm pretty sure, the one that you did the ad for. But the question that that I wanted to ask Dr. Day is, I had read some books, and there's been a lot of information on the glycemic index, and a lot of doctors have said that that juices are very high on the glycemic index compared to the whole fruit, and that especially carrots are even higher than fruit. I was wondering if you might comment on that.
In other words, boiled down to English, you're saying it's better to eat them than it is to juice them.
Well, right, that they raise the blood sugar, even carrots supposedly raise the blood sugar more even than fruit.
Okay. Doctor?
Well, certainly when you have, first of all, when you have fiber associated with sugar, it is metabolized more slowly in the body, and so then that raises the insulin more slowly. However, when you have natural sugar, it's totally different from refined sugar. And so if a person is a diabetic and they have cancer, I tell them to start off with one carrot juice a day, dilute it 50-50, and then start changing their diet and eating all the right things and changing the way they're living. And as they get better, they will be able to increase quite rapidly, actually, their carrot juice over the next few weeks, always checking their blood sugar and urine sugar. But if a person is not a diabetic, they not only can they handle it well, see, the body runs on sugar. When I say sugar, I'm not talking about refined sugar. It runs on carbohydrate. The brain, the fuel for the brain is carbohydrate. It is glucose. That's what the brain runs on. And the rest of the body thrives on a high complex carbohydrate diet. That means whole fruits and vegetables. When you juice it, what you're trying to do is get lots of nutrition in rapidly so the body does not have to digest it. You see, nobody could eat 35 pounds of carrots a week.
And live.
But that's right. Especially you, huh?
That's right.
But you need to get that nutrition in because cancer and virtually all disease is a problem of malnutrition. We're eating a lot of calories, but the wrong kind. And so you have to get nutrition into your body to make it well. And this is the way to do it. Now, I have heard all sorts of doctors say that, but in practice, they're wrong. I have a letter in front of me. I get lots of mail. I have a letter in front of me from a woman who's about 80 years old, and she wrote, and she said she was a diabetic, and she had all sorts of other problems, and the doctor said, you're not supposed to drink carrot juice. It's too high in sugar. And she said she told him to go fly a kite, and she went home, and she did it. Within 3 weeks, she had lowered her insulin level by eating right and going on the carrot juice. Again, gradually, she had lowered her insulin dose by 50% and continued to stay on the plan and is almost all the way off her insulin. So this is the kind of thing that happens. And so they're not separating natural sugar from refined sugar. Refined sugar, like sugar that's in a sugar bowl, which they put in ketchup and even they're putting it in toothpaste and things like that, and almost all processed food, that hits your body like a jolt of cocaine.
Mm.
Totally different from natural sugar.
All right, very good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. Where are you, sir?
I'd rather not say, Art. I'm sorry.
Huh.
It's just
okay.
That I haven't talked to my family about this. I've, for the doctor, I recently discovered a lump. And I was just wondering. I've also, I'm not sure if I found two lumps or if it's a lymph node that's swollen. I found a lump on my right testicle, and near the base of my genitals, there's a bulging-type lump. Would that be a lymph node?
It would be impossible for me to tell from here.
We don't do medicine over the radio, sir.
Okay, and I have a question. You mentioned flaxseed oil. Were there any other herbal medicines that you used?
Flaxseed oil is not an herbal medicine. Flaxseed is a food.
Oh, okay.
And so, again, I'm not against herbs, but the point is the way you get well
is by replacing your deficiencies, and you have a deficiency of food and water and a deficiency of peace in your life. And that's what you've got to get in your life to get well. Herbs are very short-term things to help you along when you have colds and flus and things like that. But what you really do have to do is rebuild your immune system with food and water.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, and caller?
Yeah?
I would say, doctor, he should go to a doctor and at least find out what he's facing, shouldn't he?
Well, he can do that, but I'll tell you this. Lumps, whatever kind of lumps you have, whether it's malignant or whether it's a lymph node or whatever, it's abnormal, and you want to reverse that lump. And the way to do it is to reverse the factors that allowed it to develop in the first place. I certainly would not tell you not to go to a doctor, but if you follow the plan that I did, lumps, whether benign or malignant, can go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, caller?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for the call, and take care. And good luck to you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
All right.
Yes.
I'm Tom. I'm in Southern Oregon.
Hi, Tom.
Right near to your Central Point base.
Yes.
On 1440. I have one quick question for you, and then I'd like to relate something to Dr. Lorraine.
All right.
You have reported numerously on some groups looking for some extra terrestrial life, right?
No, this is inappropriate for what we're doing right now, sir. Why don't you ask Dr. Day the question?
Okay, Dr. Day?
Yes.
I just wanted to give you a quick little thing that my mother-in-law at age 75 had a tumor of the liver. We're in one of the largest medical centers on the West Coast. We had the best surgeon here. Opened her up, sewed her up, said, she's got 3 to 10 days. We can't do anything. Take her home. She was 64 pounds and on morphine, right?
Oh, boy.
After 3 days of coffee enemas, she was off the morphine with no pain. By doing the 8 juices a day, she was up and on her way on a tour through Canada in 6 months.
Wow.
Okay?
That's right.
And I've got all the medical records. True story.
I believe it.
And it does work. I don't know if you.
I believe it.
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel from Medical Service Corps, U.S. Army. And we could not have done this with friends in the medical profession. One great internist here, who came over, and we needed some special things prescribed. We needed some Lugol juice and so on and so on. But he said he would help us and prescribe anything we wanted so long as we didn't tell anybody who he was.
Yes.
Well, I believe his story.
Listen, I know hundreds of people who've gotten well that way. You see, you never hear about them in the newspapers, and people say, well, why aren't these published in the medical journals? On one of my videos, I hold up a medical journal, and I show you how much is medical content and how much is high-priced pharmaceutical ads. More is composed of the ads than of the medical content. And so if they lost all those pharmaceutical ads, which they would if they published this kind of information, they would not be in business. It's just that simple.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Dr. Day. Hi.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Fine.
Good. Yeah, Dr. Day, gosh, sitting here listening to you the last half hour or so, the caller before this caller, how can you not just, like, come straight out and tell him, go see a physician when he was talking about his perineum area there?
Well, I didn't tell him not to. That's up to him.
Well,
I don't tell him what to do.
How come you didn't say, well, you know what, you really need to go see a physician? He needs to go see a physician.
Well, maybe she doesn't absolutely believe that, caller.
Yeah,
in other words, she said a lump, whether it's benign or cancerous,
can be reversed.
Can be reversed in the same manner. That's all she said. She didn't say don't see a doctor. She said, I heard clearly what she said.
Yeah, you are correct, Art. You are correct. But shouldn't she have said after that, but you should go see
She should say what she feels.
But she, as a physician, you know, I don't agree with almost everything she says. I really don't agree with anything she says. So, I mean, at least she could have said was okay, you know, it could be reversed or anything, a lump, da-da-da. But I cannot tell you without, you know, you need to go have further studies done, and it could be reversed. And good luck to you, and so forth.
I can tell you this. I am a physician.
Mm-hmm.
I did not learn one thing in medical school about true healing of the body. No doctor does. Every doctor only learns drugs. We learn to diagnose a case by evaluating the symptoms. Then we pick a drug to treat those symptoms. We never address the underlying cause of the problem. Let me give you an illustration. High blood pressure is not caused by a deficiency of high blood pressure medication. High blood pressure is caused mainly by too much fat in the arteries, narrowing the arteries caused by what we eat,
right,
plus dehydration, which causes the body to produce a chemical which constricts the blood vessels, and so the heart has to push blood harder through narrower vessels. And this is what causes high blood pressure. So,
well, that's not the only thing, doctor.
Pardon?
Because I am also a learned colleague, as you are. And there's other factors. You have to take all the factors into consideration.
Like what? Like what?
Like what? Like a plaque along the...
That's what I said.
Pardon?
That's what I said.
You said plaque? I didn't hear plaque.
I said there is fat in the vessels, which is, of course, what plaque is.
Okay, and perhaps, what else? What else could there be? Maybe like predisposition, your history, your family's history, that kind of thing? Would that be part of it, doctor?
Well, that's very small part of it. There's very little blood for high blood pressure that is genetic.
Now. Heart disease, the biggest thing in heart disease is your history, your family.
Isn't.
Your family.
No,
come
isn't.
On now.
I'm sorry, it is not.
Oh, Dr. Day, I'm so sorry, but history number one, when a patient or a client, whatever you want to call that person, when they comes in, the first thing you do is get a history from them.
No,
you ask about their parents.
It says you can change, and every doctor has seen patients when they change their lifestyle, they do not have to have happen to them what happened
lifestyle.
To their parents.
That's right. I'm not arguing with that. But when they come in to the ER, the biggest thing you're going to ask them is the history. If they're going to be predisposed if they have a family history.
I think if I'm listening to the doctor correctly, what she's saying is, yeah, sure, predisposition may be true, but if you conduct your life in the manner that she's been describing and you change your habits in the manner she's been describing, eating, exercise, sun, on and on and on, that you can change what otherwise might occur because of predisposition or anything else.
That's correct. You see, these things are not necessarily genetic. What happens is we learn these patterns from our parents. Our parents teach us how to eat. They teach us how to handle anger or not handle it. They teach us how to handle stress or not handle it.
Mm-hmm.
They teach us whether we exercise or not. By what they do, we observe. So these things are handed down through families, but not in the genes.
Well, I am so sorry, but you do have a lot of good things to say about eating and sleep and all that. But gosh, for the most part, you're not doing your profession any good by being on the show right now.
All right, we'll address that one when we get back. Hold on, caller. Even I, who knows that I'm doing everything that I shouldn't be doing, even I know the good doctor is absolutely correct.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. west of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Well, that was adrenaline-producing. We lost our uplink going into that break. That was something. Whew. You've got to be a type A, I'm telling you. I got in there and recycled the satellite transmitter, and we're back up right now. We'll see what happens. That's even better than a cup of coffee. Matter of fact, this time of the morning. So Dr. Day is my guest, and she will be, as I hope we will be, right back. This is Art Bell. Well, all right. Assuming that we're still whole in the sense of getting the signal from here to there, and I think we are, here once again is Dr. Lorraine Day. Well, at least occurred during a break, or near a break. Dr. Day, here we go again.
All right.
I do want to give out your information. To get her tapes, the ones you heard her talk about, there is a 24-hour number available. Hopefully, it's not swamped beyond all redemption. The number is 1-800-574-2437. That's 1-800-574-2437. And or you can write to Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. That's Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. And here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. I can barely hear you, so you're going to have to yell at us a little.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Dr. Day. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know if the doctor has any special advice for somebody with herpetic conjunctivitis, because pharmaceutical medication hasn't helped it at all.
I can't hear what you say. Hepatic what?
Conjunctivitis.
Can you spell it? Because I can't hear it.
Can you spell that?
What, conjunctivitis?
Cholangitis?
Conjunctivitis.
Conjunctivitis, she's saying.
Can you spell the word? Because I've not heard of any such word. There's hepatic cholangitis, C-H-O-L-A-N-G-I-T-I-S. What are your symptoms?
It's an ulceration of the eye.
Oh, conjunctivitis. Now you say hepatic?
Yes.
Hepatic conjunctivitis?
Yes.
Why do they associate your swollen and running eyes with your liver?
No, this is an ulcer of the eye. They say it's part of the cold sore family.
Okay, because hepatic, are you saying herpetic?
Yes, herpetic.
Oh, herpetic. Oh, because hepatic means liver.
It's
herpetic.
H-E-R-P-E.
You have herpes of the eye?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Again, herpes is a virus which is the result of an immune system that is not functioning properly. What you need to do is start rebuilding your immune system, and you do that by a change in your diet and lifestyle, because there is no antibiotics do not work on viruses. Antiviral medication all have side effects, and they do not destroy the herpes virus. So all you're doing is trying to knock it down a little bit. What you have to do is rebuild your body so your body can fight the infection.
All right. So all the advice that you've heard earlier tonight,
that's right,
applies.
Applicable to this and all.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because the pharmaceutics haven't helped it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, in that case, you don't have much to lose by changing your life in the manner she described.
Certainly not, and I thank you very much.
Have a
good evening.
You bet. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Hello, Doctor. I don't know if you've asked. This may be a silly question, but instead of juicing, if I drank a lot of orange juices and apple juices, would that have the same effect? And then I have another question about olive oil and garlic.
All right.
Okay, first of all, orange juice, you don't want to drink more than one glass of orange juice a day because that does not have the same antioxidant effect that the carrot juice has.
Okay.
Apple juice, yes, apple is very good, and I mix the apple in with the carrot and the apple in with the green leafy vegetable juice, which you'll see on the plan, and that is very beneficial. But you need, carrots are one of the best antioxidants, and you need all of the vitamins that are in the green leafy vegetable juice. Now, when you talk about olive oil and vinegar.
No, I mean olive oil and garlic. I mean, are the claims
well, olive
that,
oil and garlic
yeah.
for what? You mean well, like a dress salad dressing?
Well, no, but I've heard that, you know, putting that in your diet, you know, I've heard these wonderful, almost like this is like a miracle thing with olive oil and garlic. I was just wanting to get your opinion.
Well, the thing is, see, there are no quick fixes.
I understand.
There are no quick fixes, and garlic has a lot of antibiotic effects, but
right.
you have to be careful because garlic is very pungent, it's very strong, and it can have a very irritating effect.
Mm-hmm.
The best oil, if you have a serious disease,
right.
you don't want to take a lot of fat, even vegetable fat, into your body because cancer thrives on fat. Now, if you do not have cancer,
right.
certainly olive oil is the very best oil to cook with.
Okay.
The very best.
Okay.
All right. Another thing about oils, for those of you listening, if you just think about a steak that's out on your kitchen counter, if you look at the fat on that steak, it is solid at room temperature. It's also solid at body temperature,
mm-hmm.
in the cow's body and in your body when you eat it. When you cook your steak, some of that fat will melt, but as soon as it cools down a little bit, it will solidify in the pan. So when you eat flesh food, the fat that's marbled in the meat is solid at body temperature in your body. When you eat vegetable fats, they are liquid, like olive oil and flaxseed oil. They are liquid at room temperature and liquid at body temperature, so they don't clog up your arteries like animal fats do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have been taking garlic, odorless garlic pills, and cayenne pills for a long time, and it is some of the healthiest things that have ever happened to me. So I want to know, why are people talking against these kind of medications?
Who's talking against them?
Well, it's so good for the human body to take odorless garlic. And
yeah, repeat, sir. Who talked against them?
Well, I've heard things about these medications as to their opposite effect on the human body.
You mean other than tonight?
And tonight. And I'm wondering, why do people...
I haven't heard that.
Why do people talk against the kind of things that are the best for the human body?
Again, sir, I haven't heard that, not on this program anyway.
Well, what are the benefits then that Dr. Day is talking about that cayenne, for instance, will help the human body?
Well, first of all, we haven't even discussed cayenne tonight.
Yeah. Where are you coming from here?
It's a marvelous product to use, and it has certainly helped my heart and all the functions of my body. It helps the body perform at its maximum. And I wonder why these things aren't mentioned.
Well, first of all, there is no heart problem or cardiovascular problem that is due to a deficiency of cayenne. There are, and I'm not against cayenne. What I'm telling you is, in order to really get well, what we've got to do is we've got to reverse the things that happened in our body. When our arteries are clogged up, which is what causes heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes, we've got to unclog them. And the best way to unclog them is to change the things in our diet and our lifestyle that are clogging them up. And so it is not, cayenne can certainly have some good effects on these things, but it doesn't cure the problem because if you don't change your diet and lifestyle to get rid of the fat in your body, you're still going to have arteriosclerosis. Garlic, as I just talked about, has a lot of antibiotic effects. It has a lot of immune-boosting effects, but you have to be somewhat careful.
You have to take it raw. If you cook with it, it loses the nutritional effect for your body.
But you have to be somewhat careful of it because it has an irritating effect on the body. It does have a lot of positive effects, but again, there are no diseases caused by a deficiency of garlic. There are diseases caused by a deficiency of nutrition, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, and too much fat and protein in the diet. So that's where we've got to really put the emphasis rather than just picking
sure.
a herb out here or a something out there and thinking that we're living healthy.
Let me draw this one out on you. This does seem to be true that some people who live lives that you would consider far less than ideal do not come up with arterial sclerosis, or they don't have a heart attack or stroke or get cancer. They seem to live and then live to a ripe old age and then die of whatever. It doesn't happen to them. Where, on the other hand, some other people, doctor, are particularly prone to clogged arteries and their counts, I forget what it is you look at, always are high, while other people seem to be able to get away with food murder and their count remains low and normal and they just go sailing through life.
Okay, well, first of all, let's just look at the trends. In 1900, the percentage of all deaths from percentage of the total deaths of people who died in the United States, heart disease was only 8%.
Oh, I'm not even going to begin to make this argument. I wouldn't even try because I know you're correct. All I'm saying is, why are there these seeming exceptions to the rule?
Okay, first of all, the people who now live to a ripe old age, and you'll find people who, you know, a few, now most of these people die. The ones that you see living to a ripe old age are the exception and not the rule, and you might say, why are they the exception?
I'm asking that.
Right, first of all, when they were being raised, remember, in the early 1900s, if somebody's, say, 100 years old now, they were eating out of their gardens. They ate much less flesh food then. They didn't eat sugar. They didn't drink sodas. They weren't under the stresses that we are under now as far as the civilization is concerned. And a lot of those people have maintained some of those healthy lifestyles. And even if they've smoked on top of that, if they're still, say, eating out of their gardens or they're eating very healthily, they can survive. If you have a person who is, 50 years old and they have been eating all wrong and they have been had a good attitude, not getting angry, frequently they can overcome wrong eating habits by their attitude. I know a woman who is 75 years old. She is grossly overweight, but she has the world's greatest attitude. Most people who are grossly overweight don't live to be 75, but she does not get angry. She has peace in her heart, and she is doing very, very well. I also know of another person, actually a distant relative of mine, who is a very angry lady, but she eats right and she exercises every day. She should have been dead a long time ago, but she's still going.
So there's really no single answer, is there?
It is a multifactorial situation. In other words, you've got to really look at the whole plan, and sometimes you can overcome one with another. But if you have lots of stresses, you don't handle the anger in the way you should, and you eat wrong, you're a disaster waiting to happen.
Gotcha. Gotcha. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Johnny down in Phoenix. Listen to you on KFYI.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Day, I'm not a learned colleague, but I've been around for quite a while. And I want to just give you something positive here. I know of at least a dozen people who have been cured of cancer and other degenerative diseases by doing exactly what you say.
Well, thank you very much. That's great to hear.
I have twice that many friends who went the traditional route, and they're all dead now.
Right.
What I wanted to ask you about, have you heard of a fellow by the name of Reverend George Malcomus?
Oh, yes. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, is he?
Well, oh, yes, and I'm going to be speaking at his place in April.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. He, it's so hard to get greens, you know, to juice.
Right.
And he recommends a product called barley greens.
Yes.
And what is your opinion on that?
I think it is very good, but green leafy, fresh green leafy vegetable juice is better. But barley green is good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
How about a Dr. Joel Wallach? Have you heard of him?
That's different. Yeah.
That's different.
Right.
Well, he pretty much says what you say, except he leans more towards the minerals. You know.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Day. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is Patrick from San Diego. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I actually got about four questions, but I can do them quickly. Dr. Day, you mentioned that you know, chemotherapy is poison, and not that this would be an issue for myself personally, but the same thing is said often about AZT for AIDS, and I was wondering, that's my first question, what your opinion on that would be.
AZT. Yes.
AZT is also poison. In fact, AZT was so poisonous they wouldn't even use it for cancer patients. It was on the shelf, and they decided to give it to AIDS patients.
Second question would be, and I have a couple after, what are your thoughts on, and the only one that springs to mind is Dr. Peter Duesberg out of UC Berkeley, and others who claim that HIV does not cause AIDS or it's not proven.
Yeah, good question. I've interviewed Dr. Duesberg. He presents a compelling case, doctor.
Yes, I know Dr. Duesberg, and I've read his work. I have a document, House Bill 15090, Subcommittee for Defense Appropriations for 1970, where they actually asked for a virus to be made, a microorganism,
mm-hmm.
and this is the exact quote, that does not now exist, for which would destroy human beings' immune system and for which there would be no cure.
Mm-hmm.
We have evidence that that was funded, and that was funded in the early 70s. And I have a friend who is a former British MI6 agent who was in the MI6 in Britain at the time that all of this was going on, who confirms this. And so I do agree with Dr. Duesberg that you can't get any disease until your immune system is suppressed. Dr. Duesberg has said publicly, which I do not agree with, he said that there would be no AIDS in Africa if they just had McDonald's there, I guess as though McDonald's would be nutritious food. But certainly a bad diet does suppress the immune system. But it's not all that simple, as Dr. Duesberg suggests. Certainly when you have a suppressed immune system, you are more prone to getting any kind of disease. But there is a lot of evidence and documentation that indeed this was a man-made virus.
Oh, this was not actually one of the questions, but that prompts your response and also the fact that Art says he's had Dr. Duesberg on. Are either of you familiar with the book, and Art, if you have discussed on your show, by Leonard Horowitz,
yes.
Emerging Viruses?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ebola?
Yes. Yes, I've had him on.
Yeah, okay. I do have a couple after this, but what are your thoughts on his work, or his, you know, his book?
Well, he has not given the facts of the Kimberly Bergalis case correctly, and I'm not quite sure why he didn't do that, because I was an expert witness for Kimberly Bergalis, the woman who got AIDS from her dentist, and he has taken those facts and turned them upside down, and I just don't know what his motivation is for doing that.
In one of the publications put out by the U.S. Army War College on non-lethal weaponry, The Revolution in Military Affairs and Conflict Short of War, they say, most Americans would not support the use of a weapon designed to target only specific racial or ethnic groups in anything less than a war for the survival of the nation. Next line, this is the last one, could the government and military of this multi-ethnic republic face charges that it was developing or using a weapon targeting Africans, Jews, Koreans, Hispanics, etc.? That was by Stephen Metz and James Kivett.
Do you
why would they even raise that question?
All right. Well, it's obvious because obviously they have considered such a thing. Not publicly, I'm sure, but privately you can bet on it. Doctor?
Right. No, that's right. Yes, they have. In fact, it's been actually public in the newspaper that certain countries are actually preparing an ethnic bomb, if you will.
Well, it has been a real pleasure, as always. Kind of scary, but a pleasure having you on, and I sense you're absolutely correct, as always. And I would invite people to, if they want to know more, check your website if they have a computer. If not, call 1-800-574-2437. Or, if you wish, write to Rockford Press, P.O. Box 8, the number 8, Thousand Palms, California, zip code 92276. And, Doctor, I'm sure we will do it again.
Well, thank you so much. And tell Richard Hoagland that if I can do anything to help him, please let me know.
You've got it.
Okay.
Doctor, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. There you have it. That's Dr. Lorraine Day. Agree, disagree, I don't know. Deep in your heart, you know she's right, even if you can't make the changes. And I'm probably in that category. You've got to know she's right. We'll be right back.
With Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
And from Dave in Santa Cruz, California, subject, our lifestyle. Hello, Art. Shush. Tonight's guest, Dr. Day, is suggesting we give up everything we love. I, too, smoke Carlton, stay up late every night, eat too much steak, drink fantastic coffee, Starbucks, actually. When I die, if there's any of my organs that are not totally shot, then I've not done something right. Why should I leave any organs for the medical community to exploit? In fact, we should be able to auction our remaining good parts off to become part of our estate. Well, Dave, I know she's right. And you know she's right. So I guess all I would say, Dave, is...
see you on the other side.
All right. Let's see. I need to get hold of Terrence McKenna. I went to call Terrence, and his phone number has changed. So, Terrence, if you're out there, you need to email me post-haste and give me your new number. He's always doing that. Terrence lives up in a mountain in Hawaii, and he only has... internet connections and cellular connections and various connections that are always changing. So, Terrence, if you're out there, if somebody knows Terrence, tell him to send his new number, please. All right, we're going to go to open lines now. Anything you want to talk about is now fair game. Dr. Day's appearance was... you know, I don't know what to say about it. I'm doing, with the exception of the sugar, now I'm pretty good on sugar... but every other thing she named should have me dead probably already, if not soon. I mean, literally every other thing. Now, I am good on sugar. I don't drink pop. I don't like it. I never have. I've never been a pop drinker. And I'm not really big on sugar for anything else. I think I used to put it on cereal when I was small. But I don't even do that. So I'm not big on sugar, but... everywhere else, I got straight Fs. You know, if this was school, it'd be straight Fs. So here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is this Art?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Art, this is Jed. I'm calling on my cell phone here.
I can tell.
I was listening to Dr. Day there, and I just called to say that I really have to disagree with most of what she says.
Not me.
The thing that I look at and the thing that I believe probably is what saved her life more so than anything is the fact that she did finally turn towards God.
A lot of people are praying when they die.
Well, exactly. But the part that I disagree with her is she makes it sound like we should all be vegetarian, and I don't believe that's what the Lord intended us to be. I believe the Lord put us on earth as a carnivorous creature, and that we should eat what we're supposed to.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a spare rib that Adam was offered, you know. It was an apple.
Right. There was an apple that was offered that got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Well, that's true.
You know?
Maybe if it had been a spare rib, they'd still be there, huh?
Exactly.
Here, have this burger.
Is that I come from a family of people that live long lives. My great-grandfather was 98 years old when he died. And we kind of live by the philosophy that he had, and that is that if you eat when you're hungry, you drink when you're thirsty, and you sleep when you're tired, the rest of it will fall into place.
Well, that's always been my philosophy. Thank you very much. But on the other hand, you see, I think that if you come up with a serious disease, I think she's right. In other words, if you want to make a radical change and cure a disease that you have, I know in my heart, my head, she's right. I know that. And still, I live the way I live. But I know she's right. And, frankly, if I came down with a really serious disease, I'd probably give it a shot. It'd kill me, but I'd give it a shot. I mean, what do you have to lose? So I'd give it a try. I think she's probably right. But then there's another side to things, too. And it's called living your life the way you want to live it, which she did for years. And, you know, so the advice is there. I mean, if you want to take it, take it. If you want to reject it, reject it. You know me, I'll probably reject it until something happens, and then I'll give it a try if I'm still alive. But I admit it. I'm a food sinner. No question about it. Give me my burgers, give me my steaks, give me my pastrami, give me my French dip, give me my, I like McDonald's, quarter pounders without cheese, Could I give all that up? Well, I suppose. If my life depended on it, well, your life does depend on it, people would say. I know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Thoroughly enjoyed the show tonight with Dr. Day.
Yeah, it was excellent.
I've had her tape cancer doesn't scare me anymore for several years now, and have shared it with many friends, some of whom have benefited.
I know she's right.
Oh, yeah. It's just a matter of a little bit of common sense, actually. With regards to the last caller who had a little bit of doubt in his mind with regards to eats, I don't think she said not to eat meat.
No, she didn't.
Basically,
all she did was say how she cured herself of cancer.
Precisely. What meat does is it overloads the system in digestion and takes away the energy from the body that the body could be using to heal itself into the digestion.
Well, all I can say is it's a cruel trick of God, because I like my steaks. As I was just saying, my hamburger. Boy, I've been a hamburger eater all my life. Give up hamburger and French fries? Oh man.
Well, I love mine, and I'm not going to give it up. However, I must admit that I have changed a little bit the last few years, and I have started now buying meats that do not have the hormones and the antibiotics that have been added into the cattle, which I firmly believe contribute heavily to a lot of the diseases that people are.
Well, that may well be, but I mean, what kind of cruel God would make all of these things so good and then not let us have them?
No, I agree.
Coffee. I couldn't live without coffee. I'm sure I'd die. I'm sure. Well, get up in the morning, you stumble out, you brush your teeth, and there's got to be coffee there. If there's not coffee there, you're dead.
Art, I used to smoke, I used to drink, and I used to drink coffee.
Yeah.
And it's been 17 years since I gave all three of them up. And, you know, I feel better, I live better, and I think better, too.
Well, everybody knows, though, that cigarettes are connected to coffee. You know, they're
Oh, yeah. Cigarettes, booze, and coffee, I mean, they're hand in hand.
Well, I don't know about booze. I'm not much. I was never much of a drinker. I don't much like drinking. But the cigarette and the coffee, they go together. They go together. I mean, they're attached. Right here, you can see my coffee cup attached to my cigarette. So,
you know, you mentioned that you don't like veggies.
Oh, God, I hate them. Lima beans are the vegetable from hell. I've never liked lima beans. I used to swallow them whole, as I said earlier, just to get them off my plate, you know, like pills.
Well, you know, it's like she said, you can't eat 35 pounds of carrots.
And peas. Peas. Why are there even peas in the world?
You're not going to eat a bushel of broccoli every day in order to get your vitamin A. There wouldn't be room
for anything else. Broccoli isn't that bad. You know, the broccoli's all right.
I love it, but I still don't want to eat a bushel of it. There's a lot of supplements in the marketplace that are green supplements that are just loaded with live extracts from the products that you can use, and you don't have to eat them and take them.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. My wife makes me eat things that I don't want to eat. So did my mom. And it's probably as well, because I wouldn't eat them otherwise. I just wouldn't. I like corn. But in a lot of restaurants where you go, you know, they mix those foul peas in with the corn. And unless you're willing to sit there and separate each kernel of corn from each foul pea, you can't eat it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing? This is John from Kemmel Park, New Jersey.
I think I'm dying, actually. Yeah.
I think I've been scared straight by Dr. Day, really.
You know she's right. I know she's right.
I know she's right, too. I obviously right. But I love my burgers and my fries, too, but I can certainly give it up if it's going to kill me.
You know, the other side of the coin here is that eventually something is definitely going to kill you.
Certainly. Even if it's old age.
In other words, eventually you rot.
Right.
Right? We're all rotting between the walls that we live in.
Yeah. Also, I've been trying to get a hold of you lately because about a week ago, I was watching TLC.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there was a man on a UFO program. I'm a little wound up here, so if you can just bear with me.
I'll try.
Okay. His name, can I give his name? Or?
Sure.
Okay, his name was Edgar Fouché, Fouche.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in regards to the triangles, the flying triangles, like the one you saw.
Yes.
Yeah, and he said, he gave a little description, because he was at Area 51, I think it was Area 51, for about 10 days. He was an electronics expert.
Right.
And he was a sergeant in the Air Force.
Right.
And he said that they were called, they had a name, and they were called the TR-3B.
I've heard of that.
Have you heard that? Yeah.
Yes, but I don't believe that it's an anti-gravitic craft, and what I saw was defying gravity.
You're saying that it did defy gravity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I believe you. Except that I don't think it was along the lines of the magnetic lines of force, that kind of thing. I don't think so. Because he said that it had a circular accelerator in the middle, and that it was mercury-based plasma, he said.
Huh.
And that it rotates at like 60,000 revolutions. I don't know if it was per minute or what. But
right.
It was pressurized at 250,000 atmospheres, which is quite, I guess, dense or whatever. And that it was at 250 degrees Kelvin. So it was at a certain temperature, and it was rotating quite quickly. And I guess that's the way it was powered.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Information.
I definitely appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
And you know, I just wanted to say, I tried to get a hold of you a couple weeks ago, and I got through, and you asked me if I had a question. I don't remember the guest, but then all of a sudden got cut off. I wonder if that had anything to do with like you being slammed with that
phone company.
Yeah,
I've been slammed more times lately than I can count.
Yeah.
It might have. Yes.
That you know they should really have some kind of laws or something.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Thank you very much. The whole phone company slamming thing is so outrageous. that if I could find, see, this is the kind of anger that Dr. Day was talking about, but if I could find out who slammed my phones, I would, well, to quote H.L. Mencken, and I love this quote, every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin slitting throats. And I couldn't agree with that more. And one of the throats that deserves to be slit ear to ear is whoever it is out there doing this phone company slamming. I mean, boom, you're just cut off, and you're in some other phone company. And there really need to be controls. The Federal Communications Commission has got to get active in this area. I mean, that's not right. It's just simply not right. And there need to be very stiff fines, very, very stiff fines, for any phone company that would do that to you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is Robert from Everett, Washington.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about one of the guys that called. Well, I can't remember what her name was.
Dr. Day.
Dr. Day, yeah.
Yes.
He said he was a learned colleague, but he didn't sound like a learned colleague to me, or he wasn't acting like one.
Well, he wasn't acting like one, that's right.
Yeah. Wow. Also, I was wondering, it might have been interesting, well, I got in late to hear about the other nine things that were in her her program.
Well, I think she went through them. You did get in late. Yes, she went through them.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want a copy of the program, sir, you call 1-800-917-4278. She got very specific with regard to what she did and what you can do. That's 1-800-917-4278. Listen, if you would like to see, Ramona has written a description of our very close UFO sighting at request. And Ramona wrote it, I didn't. Somehow we got the wrong date in there. It was actually 1994, not 1993. But otherwise, the description is flawless of what Ramona and myself saw. She wrote it, and there is a picture, the rendition by Mark McCandlish, and now there is the description of precisely what we saw and how we saw it on my website. We'll get it corrected to 1994. It was actually August of 94. So you might want to read that, the object we saw, on the website right now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Mr. Art Bell.
That's me.
How's it going?
It's going.
Oh, good. Glad to get through to you. I'm listening on KVVC, Hot Talk 105.
Las Vegas. Yes, sir.
Well, undersized program. Sounds good. But I got some questions maybe you can answer for me.
Maybe.
About public domain.
All right.
What exactly is public domain?
Public domain.
Is on the news? Is your show public domain?
No.
Why? Because I was wondering, because I have a band. And, you know, we use samples in our band. And I like a lot of what your guests have to say. I had a question about that.
How well, I public, could, public domain.
Get a question, I mean, how I could get permission to use, I guess, guest phrases.
You mean my guest phrases?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could contact my network.
How could I do that?
By calling them at area code 541.
564-8829. 8829?
Yep.
You'll have to excuse my voice. I've overthrown it out singing.
Oh, that's what I'm hearing is a result of singing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's one way to go, I guess. Sure. Public domain generally means something that is free for you to use. For example, it's software. There is software that people write, and they allow it to go into the public domain, which means you don't have to pay anybody or request anybody's permission to use it. It is in the public domain, free to use, as you will. Usually for you not to profit by, but free for you to use in the public domain. And then there are copyright questions regarding a lot of other materials. So there you have it. All right, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. And again, I remind you to get a copy. If you would like a copy of this program, and I'm sure many of you would, I understand. The number is 1-800-917-4278. The program with Dr. Day would be a three-hour program. In this one, she just laid it all out, so if I were you, I'd get a copy and send it to somebody you love, care about. 1-800-917-4278. We'll break here and be right back.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S. First, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255 or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, folks, Telstar 401 is belly up. It happened Saturday morning during a geomagnetic storm, and that's what they think killed it. The sun has really been getting doing some strange things lately. Matter of fact, what I had to do, I had to check and see what she looks like right now. We've been monitoring the sun. As a matter of fact, on our website, you will see something that's been up there almost on a daily basis that has been monitoring the sun's activity, because it is right now so interesting and so volatile. And I see that right now, it doesn't look too bad. We're, solar flux index is up to 150. Mm-hmm. A-index 13, K-index is 1 for anybody out there who follows that. For those who don't, you wouldn't have the slightest idea what all that means, nor probably care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Dr. Day's speaking about anger.
Yes.
And she talks about, well, actually, she uses biblical reference. And also, sometimes it's good to vent your anger. I mean, for instance, in Ezekiel in chapter 3, it says that in verse 14, the Spirit also lifted him and took him up, and he went away in bitterness in the indignation of his spirit, for the hand of the Lord was upon him, strengthening him. So I guess sometimes, you know,
I just let you break a rule. I generally don't allow scripture quoting on the show.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry. Because most of it is in scripture to do with anger.
Yep.
There are things that are, you know, it says not to do. What you do for the eyes of many people isn't important, because God knows the motives of our heart.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what that means. A lot of times I'm just plain old pissed off.
Oh, well, there's nothing. Well, I mean, there's a difference between violence and anger, you know? I mean, if you want to go and and vent your anger by hurting someone, then that's wrong. You know, but there's nothing wrong with being angry. I mean.
Well, she said there is, though, and I appreciate your call, but I know she's right. That doesn't stop me from being angry. And I have what is probably not a very healthy attitude. I wish I could find, somebody sent me something about a frog that was really cool, and I don't know how I passed it up. I'll find it and get it here tomorrow for you about being angry. Had to do with a frog. May not make a lot of sense to you right now, but it certainly would if I were to read it to you. Anyway, my attitude, as I told her, is one of really live and let live. And I try to live and let live. I practice that. I practice what I preach. And I don't bother people who don't bother me. But when they come after me, my feeling is if they punch me, then I hit them with a sledgehammer. And I suppose that's slowly killing me. It nevertheless remains my attitude. And if people leave me alone, I leave them alone. A good live and let live attitude. But I don't roll over and I don't play dead. For anybody. Ever. Slowly rotting me away, probably. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
You really had an interesting guest this morning.
Yes,
I wish
I
would have heard the first hour. But Dr. Day made a pretty... logical point when she said you wouldn't poison the body if you're healthy. Why do it when you're sick? You know, I find it really ironic that people will pay exorbitant fees to go to an oncologist, let them poison them, and when they die, the family will give credit to the doctor for being such a dedicated physician.
Well, they are dedicated physicians.
But not to the benefit of the patient.
Well, but in other words, they're not doing something intentionally evil or what they consider to be wrong. They think they're doing good. She just disagrees with their...
I completely agree with her there, but why if
not everybody sees it the way she does, sir.
Well, another thing there, I was going to ask her, why do physicians play God and give a person a death sentence there? You know, Dr. Day seemed to make the point that where there's life, there's hope. And when doctors tell people that they have a certain amount of time to live, there people give up their what little hope they have left and give up their will to live.
Well, that's the one side of the coin. The other is when you go to a doctor and you have something that is a fatal disease, let's say, you want the straight stuff from the doctor.
Yeah, but it's only fatal if you die from it, Art. I mean, if there's hope and you...
Well, you're absolutely right. But, I mean, I've got to tell you, if I went to a doctor, I would want the straight poop as he sees it.
Yeah, but if you put too much faith in your doctor, and maybe instead of a higher power or some other alternative method there, and went by his regimen and everything and got sicker and sicker by the day, you say, well, my doctor's right. I am dying, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I follow what you're saying. I follow what you're saying, believe me. And I think that if I were faced with a fatal disease and doctor said,
well, son, you got about 6 months to live. You better straighten your affairs out.
I think that at that point I would consider my options. I would probably try what Dr. Day has said works, much as I might find it distasteful, I would try it. How about you? What she said makes sense to me. That doesn't mean I wouldn't go to a doctor and I wouldn't get a diagnosis of what was wrong. And I'd want to know, and I'd want to get the straight thing from the doc. I mean, I don't want to go into a doctor and go through a bunch of tests and have the doctor lie to me about the results. Don't want that. I want the straight info. I don't want to be lied to. So it's all, it's kind of interesting when you consider it all. I would consider, as I suppose many of you would, the alternative methods if regular medicine gave up on me and said, sorry, son, get your affairs in order. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
This is John from Tucson.
Hi, John.
You said you wouldn't quote from the you didn't want people to quote from the Bible.
I would prefer not. That's for Sunday.
Would you mind people quoting from the Quran?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Then you're not prejudiced. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Wild card line, you're on the... Whoops, would have been on the air. No, I don't... You know, this is not a church service we have here. And when you start quoting from the Bible, pretty soon you have other people who want to add another quote that disputes the first quote, and it turns into something like a church service, and so I don't do that. From the Quran or from anything else. We're not here to preach. If you want preaching, you can go to church on Sunday. Or you can go to a mosque or whatever you would like, a temple, whatever. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. On the international line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Eric calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yes.
I really enjoyed your guest today. I agree with her wholeheartedly. Since I've changed to a certain extent to the diet that she's talked about, been tremendous improvement in everything in my life and health-wise. And one area I think is really of interest is that really surprised me was that, you know how as you get into your 40s, you start to have that receding hairline.
Oh, yes.
Well, the hair is starting to grow back.
You're growing hair where you didn't have it before?
Well, I had it before when I was
where you had lost it, I mean.
But not lately. But it's growing back, and it's coming back very nicely. And my hair is so much better. It's incredible. I mean, everybody notices your hair. You know how the hair starts to recede. You get that sort of frizzy kind of, not very nice sort of hair, but my hair is so thick and lustrous. And where there is a lot of hair, it's growing thicker and thicker. It's not thinning out like it does when your hairline's receding. And it's just, I was just so shocked and amazed, but I didn't expect that to happen. That's one of the side effects of eating that healthier diet. I was just so amazed.
Well, I always thought hair growth was a product of protein mostly. That would be in meat, right?
No, eating too much protein is not good for you, but a very balanced diet would. It's just something about I kept working at it, much along the lines like she was doing, finding out different aspects and understanding nutrition. And I hit onto things I must have that were missing in my diet, and the hair is growing back, and I'm just so amazed. And all the other hair.
You, of course, also have been using Dr. Art's hair growth formula.
No. I don't go in for that kind of nonsense. But it's just a healthier diet, and it just worked like a charm. And in so many other ways, too. Healthier, nicer skin. Everything is just dramatically improved. But she's just quite right on a healthier diet and about much of the how doctors are really not taught much about nutrition. I agree.
I mean, it is impossible to listen to Dr. Day and not know in your heart she's right. Now, that doesn't mean you can do it. I mean, as I said, in every single category she named, I'm in trouble, except for sugar. I'm not a sugar freak at all. But that's only one little tiny thing. In everything else, I'm in absolute dire straits. Dire straits. Coffee, cigarettes, tension. Got plenty of tension in the work I do. What else? Vegetables? Hate them. Eat them, but I hate them. And I eat a minimum of veggies. Whatever I can get away with. When I was young, whatever my mom would let me get away with, and now whatever Ramona will let me get away with, and she stuffs me with veggies. So I suppose I eat a few, but far from a diet. And hamburgers, oh God, I love hamburgers. I'm telling you, I've got a thing for beef. I've always loved beef. And I've heard the stats. You know, I've probably got about 25 pounds of loose beef kicking around there or something. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi. My name is Jenny. I'm calling from Hawaii, K-H-U-H.
K-H-V-H.
K-H-V-H.
There you go.
Sorry. I just had a comment about the body bags.
Ah, the 25 million body bags.
I don't understand that. Wouldn't they just dig a hole and, you know, spray lye on
it? Pile them in.
Yeah, don't they usually just do that?
Big D9 cat or something? I don't know. I don't even know if that's a truth. You know, it's probably not true. You see all these things flying around on the Internet, and I've got no reason to believe that it's true, and now I see on the internet, now all of a sudden it's full of these concentration camps. That comes up every few years.
Oh, yeah. That are existing now?
Yep. Have you got a brand spanking new concentration camp waiting for disaffected Hawaiians?
Maybe. I listened about your, the stuff getting sprayed from the sky.
Yep.
And I've seen something similar like that in San Francisco, but I haven't seen anything like that here. I'm wondering if maybe they're tainting our water or something else instead.
Who knows? Now, I did stop and ask Dr. Day about intentionally spreading things, and she said, oh, yes.
Yeah, I heard that.
Now, I've got William Thomas on contrails coming back up on the show Wednesday, because this is such a big story. My God, I'm getting thousands of photographs. People are talking about this. It's just really out of control.
It's
so
too creepy, though.
It is creepy. And maybe by Wednesday, we'll have some lab results to talk to you about.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
yeah,
we'll creep you out even more.
Also, Hawaii's not connected to any grid, I don't think. So I think we might be all right for...
That's true.
Y2K.
That's true. Hawaii is its own grid.
Yeah, we got our own system out here.
Tell me, are the islands connected together, power-wise?
I don't know. I asked my brother, and he just knew we weren't connected to in any other way to the states.
Are you on Oahu?
Oahu, yeah.
Oahu. All right, so if Maui goes down, do you go down?
I don't know. I guess I should find out. Huh?
Well, when you do, let me know.
I will.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care. And here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
Good evening. This is Como Radio in Seattle calling.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes, sir.
You do sound different on the phone.
Yeah, I know. How could I not sound different? I mean, on the radio, you're getting the full spectrum of audio, but on the phone, you get a very limited spectrum.
Well, a lot of phone lines to travel through, too.
Yeah.
I haven't heard an update on Richard Hoagland today.
Well, he's continuing to recover. He's in the hospital still, and may get out soon. When he does, I'll let you know. In the meantime,
good.
He's recovering.
I enjoyed Lorraine Day tonight.
Yeah, she was very good.
I ordered your book here a month ago.
Which one?
The Source.
The Source,
a little
right.
More than I expected. I thought you quoted $26.95.
I don't think I quoted anything.
Well, whatever.
Actually, I can tell you what it is. Got it here somewhere.
Since you got a propane stove with an electronic lighter on it, you can light it manually.
That's correct. That's correct.
I didn't know if you realized that or not.
Oh, sure I do.
I just ordered the Bob Crane radio here about 4 or 5 days ago.
The Source is $21.95 plus $5 shipping and handling. Hardcover.
Well, I just got billed $29.90.
Well, you better talk to him.
Them,
what's
huh?
Wrong.
Okay. I tried to get a hold of Richard Simpson.
Yes.
And I could not get through where his phone lines are. Any idea of how to get a hold of his...
Other than the number we gave you, no.
Okay.
No, I'm afraid not. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, after a guest has been on, the number goes into gridlock for a while because we have a lot of listeners.
Yeah, it's a voicemail or whatever. I just couldn't seem to get through. Art, nice talking to you. I'm
okay.
Surprised they got through.
Be persistent. All right?
Oh, I was.
All right.
I got it programmed in my phone now. Thanks, Art.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hi. How are you doing tonight, Art?
Fine, sir.
That's good. I'm calling from near high level Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
I'm just calling in reference to last night there. You were making, or said that you might have had some sightings in Canada concerning contrails.
Now, last night was Sunday.
Yes. You had William Thomas on the
line. Oh, they did a replay of William Thomas. Yes. Yes, that was a replay, but we're going to have him back on live Wednesday.
Okay. What kind of sightings are, what possible areas have there been sightings in Canada?
He'd be the one to ask, sir. He'll be back here Wednesday.
Okay.
You're very hard to get a hold of.
I know.
Yeah, especially through cellular.
Sorry about that.
Oh, hey, not a problem. Another question here, actually. I don't know if I'm right or not. I remember watching some stuff on, like, the Discovery Channel, et cetera,
right.
About how, like, some of our telescopes can spectrally analyze certain, like, gases and stuff like that in our atmosphere, in the solar system.
That's right.
And they can tell what they are by the way that, you know, they give off certain types of light.
Right.
Why is it possible to do that inside our atmosphere, like maybe with these quote-unquote chemtrails?
Oh, I think that's a glorious idea, and I will suggest it to William Thomas. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Spectral analysis could be done, and I think it could be done on these chemtrails. I must admit that I came to this topic kind of kicking and screaming. It's one of those things that I'm so hesitant to believe in, and yet so many people that I trust tell me that, yes, indeed, this really could be going on. I mean, even Dr. Day, I just sort of ran the question by her, and she said, oh, yes, and began to give some examples. Nobody would want to think their own government would experiment on them, on the American public. Ooh, they'd never do that. Well, yes, they would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm calling you from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga. Yes, sir.
Yes. You said Richard Hogan's doing fine.
Yes.
And you're going to have Mr. Thomas back on Wednesday night.
That is true.
Okay. Last Friday night, you had a gentleman on talking about he was preparing his home in the mountains of the Carolinas and things. I couldn't think of his last name. It was Hugh something.
Simpson, I believe, wasn't it?
Simpson?
No, maybe not Simpson. Something like that, though. Yes.
Oh, okay. Talking about, you know, all the changes that's going to occur and where
yes.
the safe areas would be to live
sure.
and everything.
Sure.
Okay.
He scared the hell out of me, actually.
Yeah, me too. You know, I live in, you know, Chattanooga. We're in the Appalachian chain, you know.
Right. Well, that's one of the areas he said would be pretty good.
Yeah, I live in the mountains myself, and the only problem I have is, see, I've done everything, you know, that you can think of. I've already got the Beijing radio. I've got rain barrels already connected up, collecting rainwater and things, storing food and everything. My only problem is the fence. I'll have to call my family in. See, I'm visually impaired, and I'll have to call them in to stay with me to help protect my home.
Well, that's what family is for.
Yeah, that's true and everything. But I want to say I've been listening to you since our radio station, WGOW, here has had you on since October of 96, and it's been a great pleasure listening to you and your show, and I find it fascinating every time I listen.
Well, thank you, and thank WGOW in Chattanooga and all those other affiliates. I'm Art Bell, and I guess I'm out of time for tonight. See you tomorrow night with Popular Communications on the radio.